Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake! The radio network Rainbow Soul is the town. Sports and Death is the show! And we always open up every show, especially Sunday, with John Coltrane's Dear Lord. Paying homage to the one and only true God. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you, the Lord, for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have already been bestowed on all, without question, unmerited. We ask you, the Lord, to not give us too much of what we want. Give us what we need. And we need thee every hour. We ask you to bless our families, the Lord. Those here in the USA, and my family and friends in Brazil. We ask you to bless our president. We ask you to bless our friends and family in the panel in these troubled times, knowing not what tomorrow brings, but by the grace of God who brings tomorrow. And as that lady once said, you're God all by yourself. And that gentleman once said, even though we may not live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on Park Avenue. My mother once said, if you find anything like sin in my heart, cast it in a sea of forgiveness that'll never rise up against me on Judgment Day. Your will, your way, Father God, in all ways, and we end in the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, because our trespasses we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. This is a Sports In Depth, a Mills Rose game closeout final. As we're going to look at the winners of yesterday, and there's some interviews. We salute the birthday of William Russell, the five-time MVP, the winningest player in NBA history, the only man outside of Wilt Chamberlain to average over 20 rebounds. Bill Russell averaged 22 rebounds a game. He had three seasons of 24 rebounds or more a game. He's 78 today. The MVP trophy now in the NBA playoffs is named after him. And if you look at Russell won 11 championships in 13 years, became the first African-American coach, as we continue our salute to Black history, to ever win an NBA championship, the first African-American coach to ever coach an NBA team, and the first African-American player coach to coach and win a championship. Won back-to-back NCAA championship with his good buddy, Casey Jones, at USC. Bill Russell, then, for all intents and purposes, won 13 championships in 15 years, and he got hurt in 1 year, so he actually won 13 championships in 14 years. Was the number two pick in the 1956 draft by the St. Louis Hawks. It's ironic. The St. Louis Hawks picked Russell
and then sent him to the Celtics for Cliff Hagan and Ed Mackley. And ironically, the Celtics won the championship Russell's first year. But the next year, the Hawks won the championship. Russell got injured, and the Hawks ended very late. So they're kind of like, well, you know, it's kind of even here. You know, they won, but now we kind of got it right. That wasn't the case. With Bill Russell as captain of the Celtics, the Celtics won. Not three in a row. Not four in a row. The Boston Celtics won the NBA championship 8 times in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's right. 7. 8 years in a row the Celtics won the NBA championship. 8 years in a row. The 2 years they lost, Russell got hurt, and the greatest team ever assembled, record-wise, in history of NBA, led by Wilt Chamberlain, the 76ers, which that year I think they were 69-13, they won the championship, 69-12. Okay? So he was hurt, and the greatest team ever assembled beat his team. We say happy birthday to Bill Russell, 78 years old today on the 12th of February, and it's conceivable. It's conceivable. As you can say, the greatest player ever played. If you're talking about championships, if you're talking about rings, Bill Russell's in there. I mean, I know there's the Michael Jeffrey Jordan fans. I'm a devout Oscar Palmer Robinson, as well as a Wilt Chamberlain fan, and Julius Winfrey from the ABA. Russell averaged 15 points a game and 22 rebounds. He only had one season that he ever scored less than double figures. He had 3 seasons where he pulled down 24 rebounds a game. He was NCAA, okay, MVP, okay. He was the NBA MVP, and he also was NBA All-Star Game MVP. A few people can say that. Oscar Robertson can attest to that. Oscar was a college player of the year. Oscar was the MVP. Oscar also won the NBA MVP. But today, we say happy birthday to Bill Russell, and we're looking also for the legendary entertainment editor, Don Thomas, to join us as we were looking for him before, as we moan and send our sympathy out to the family of the legendary Whitney Houston as Whitney passed away. It's ironic, you know, it's a small world. And when I came in from the Melrose games last night, I checked my emails, and my dear friend Rosie, we want to say late happy birthday. In fact, if I'm correct, her birthday is the day before Don Thomas, January 20th. And I got an email, and she wrote in English, but she wrote in Portuguese, which I'm learning, thank through the grace of God, and to her. She wrote in Portuguese, is it true that Whitney morreu? And morreu means died. And that was then I got on the phone, called my sister, my beloved, greatest baby sister, Teresa. It was confirmed. And, Whitney, as a lot of you know, I'm a police officer, retired police officer, also stand-up comic known as Mel Stanley, the Comedy Cop. The second person I ever opened for was her mother, Sissy Houston, at the late legendary club Sweetwaters. And she was there that night. I see her now. In fact, I acknowledge her in the audience. It's the first time I've ever seen her been around live.
Guess what, Mel Stanley? Don Thomas is here to talk about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, last year, They put out a poster. A lot of you who went around McDonald's, you saw a poster of legendary figures. And Don reluctantly joined the poster. But he is the most renowned entertainment writer of our generation. The man who came, who begat part of that big red legendary form. I remember the day this plane is day because it was April 6th, 1987. It was the night that Leonard fought Hagler. It was Julius Erving's last game in Madison Square Garden, and I remember going to the 2020 Club to watch that fight. And as I was watching, I was going to sit down, I saw the legendary Anita Baker. I said, oh, hello, Miss Baker. So hi. I said, my name is Mel Stanley. I wasn't Doc Stanley yet. I write for New York Baker. I said, our entertainment editor is Mr. Don Thomas. She said, Don Thomas was writing about me before anybody else was. You can't say enough about the accolades. It said he's a legend. He's a living legend. We're going to talk about Whitney Houston. We're going to talk about Don Thomas. With Don Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to have, you know, you're talking Don Thomas. You're talking the kind of guy, legends as Don Thomas, Hal Jackson. These are people who have, you know, when you make it here in New York, that means you're the greatest of all time. You know, it's Larry Hardesty. I tell you, who opens our show, I say Larry is the greatest African sportscaster in the history of New York City, meaning the world. This is the greatest entertainment editor of African-American papers in New York City, which means he's the greatest of all time. Mr. Thomas, it just first of all, you know, we want to have your birthday. You had a birthday last month, too, didn't you?
I sure did, Mel, and we had a party, a really incredible party. You were invited, but you have a lot of things on your plate, so I know you couldn't be there, but you were definitely there in spirit, and we had a ball. And it was my 70th birthday, believe it or not.
It's unbelievable because Don looks about 35. You know what I mean? You know, cops stop him. There's some places, some clubs that Don go and they still ask for his ID. Can you see ID, sir, please? Don, we're going to start with ladies first.
Right.
You knew her. Tell us about the legendary Whitney Houston, and you know what a tragedy this is losing her.
Okay, well it was. Now the first time of my being introduced to Whitney Houston was I was booking the talent at the Sweetwaters. Sweetwaters was an incredible club on the West Side up in the 60s, and I used to do the talent booking. I was a talent booking agent there. And on this particular night, her mom, Whitney Houston, Sissy Houston,
mm-hmm.
was presenting her review, her show. And during the course of her show, she said, I would like to introduce you to my daughter, Whitney Houston, who came up on the stage with her brother, Gary. And in the audience that night was Clive Davis. Well, I mean, it was just an incredible night because Whitney came up there and she just wowed the crowd. And before she even left out of there, Clive Davis had booked her and everything else. It was an incredible night. Had the opportunity to meet with her for a few moments backstage. She was an incredible talent, and I'm not even going to say was. She is and will always remain an incredible individual, and she was a very personable person. Her mom and I, we're kind of close because she was doing a lot of the gospel shows along with Vi Higginson and so many other people. So I have on several occasions had an opportunity to meet her mom. But once again, I said before, and we must never forget to never speak of Whitney in the past tense because she will be present tense forever and ever. Her show was incredible.
You know, it's amazing you say that, Don, because I remember Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake with an Ever Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Depth is the show. The voice you hear, the legendary Don Thomas. And in New York City, all you have to say is Don. You know what I mean? Everybody knows what you're talking about. I remember that because you were working at Sweetwaters, and you had also helped me as I was beginning my comedy career, and you sent me up there to Sweetwaters. And the first show, the first act I ever opened up for was legendary Brooke Benton. And the next show, lo and behold, was Sissy Houston was with his moms, and I remember her being in the audience. And so,
right.
You know, that was such a legendary club. It's a shame that now how long has Sweetwaters been no longer around, Don?
Well, I mean, Sweetwaters closed in the early 80s. Owned by Charlie. But then again, I mean, to even go back a little bit further with us as being what we do, we started out when the publication called Big Red News, and you and I and the staff that we had there, along with William Underwood, who was the publisher at the time, we gave that paper, along with the rest of the staff members and people that were there, the entrance to the whole entertainment thing. And you were our main sports editor. Are you kidding?
I remember when Michael Neal, one day Mike was talking, and it was a compliment to me for what it was said and to be linked with you, and they were talking, and Mike said, hey, Big Red News? He said, Don and Mel is Big Red News. And when you look, well, on the search, I mean, because entertainment and sports are really what people are really into, and you look at the you know, the contingency of people. Don, are you visiting from New York City?
Yeah, man, I'm born and raised in Harlem. Are you kidding? Harlem Hospital, in the old building when we were on 137th Street, the red building, that's what we used to call it. Yeah,
I'm a native
New Yorker, man, born and raised on 113th Street and in the community of Harlem. And another person who a lot of people may not be aware of came up in that area, too, was Ray Chu. You know, we were all grown up in that particular area, and how it came with the paper, as I said before, was Big Red News, and it was under Mr. Underwood. And Mr. Underwood, believe it or not, here's something else a little historically, that Blair Underwood is Mr. Underwood's natural nephew. Blair Underwood would come up to the publication when we started out on Empire Boulevard. He was
right there in the Panamanian section of Brooklyn.
Yeah, right there. Empire Boulevard, right there. And Blair would come up and he would go get sandwiches and stuff for us and dust and clean up the place. Now, that's historically. And how it happened with the publication, as I said before, you being the sports editor, me doing the entertainment, and we had just so many other people that were just so instrumental in bringing that paper to its fulfillment.
Smith, Mr.
Underwood, unfortunately, yeah, he passed in 85, and out of that, Walter Smith and Miata Smith, him and his wife, took over the publication, and what they did out of a tribute, changed the name to the New York Beacon in 1985, because that was one of the long goal and wishes of Bill Underwood to have that paper one day be called the Beacon. So when he passed away, that Mr. Walter Smith and Miata Smith, who took over, changed the name of the publication, and we are still thriving today as the New York Beacon. And
wow,
you are still a part of us, man, because you're always doing things along with us, you know. So as you said before, entirely entertainment and sports together, you were the link to all of that sports stuff that we did in our publication.
Let me say this, Doc and Don, in case our many worldwide fans don't know this. This is Moses Jr., by the way. The fans really have privy to two incredible icons here in Don Thomas and Doc Stanley. In the world of sports and in the world of entertainment, you have two bona fide Hall of Famers, icons. So I just want our fans to know the incredible treat that you're getting at this time. Please continue. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
well, you know, Don is there's nobody in entertainment. Don, I, you know, because the thing about the sports staff on the Blake Radio Rainbow Soda Channel, sports staff of the show, legendary Don Thomas is with us as we remember Whitney Houston. We're going to talk about also Don Kinnear. You know, Don took me to so many places. I remember the went to a fair with Miles Davis. You know, went to a fair with Miles. You're going to understand, Miles Dewey Davis Jr., you know, and I got a chance to meet Miles. And at the time, he was married to Cicely Tyson. He took me up to another spot where I got one of Miles' books. He introduced me to Terry Williams when she was still with Essence Magazine before she became the legendary PR person. I can't think of the singer's name. I mean, he took me to places where they had...
Terry Williams' first person that I met her with was Jay Hogarth, the guy that plays the Vibes. That
yeah.
was the first my first introduction to Terry Williams and to what she was doing. And, you know, that all those different doors just opened up because she began to push my name to other people within that in the entertainment industry, and that's how it happened with her because she was very instrumental in me getting into a lot of those places, along with Simo Doe from Atlantic Records. I mean, just different people that opened doors for me, you know, as I went along. So I always felt that it was my responsibility to open doors for as many people as I possibly could along my way too, as though as the publication that I'm with is once was the formerly the Big Red News of the New York Beacon. I believe in giving. We have a lot of established artists out here, which I truly enjoy and I respect. But we have so many community talents, man, that I have been able to like help along, kind of way just through print or something. Evelyn King Champagne, who was another one that was just. She just became so instrumental in what I was doing and opening different doors, you know, and just so many of them. It goes on and on and on, you know. And one of my favorites, all-time favorites, Whitney Houston is definitely the favorite. But one of my all-time favorites was Phyllis Hyman.
She was awesome.
What a relationship that I groomed with Phyllis Hyman. And what a relationship I grew with Luther Vandross, just meeting these and communicating with them in different areas. I walked Luther up the stairs about 2 weeks before he passed on, he was going up to do a show. I think it was the China Club. It was Tyrese or something. There was a show going on, and he just stopped between the staircase, you know. And I stood with him and talked with him for the longest period of time. Just so many things that just happened that are just like, man, I'm filled up with it, you know. And with Whitney right now, I mean, I'm just so totally filled up with everything. I'm watching all these different shows about her mom. What can I say, man? Yeah. What can I say?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're talking to. I remember when I introduced Jim Brown to the crowd, and you don't kind of understand who you're talking to. And he's Phyllis Hyman. This is another person that I, as the comedy, got opened up for Phyllis Hyman. Doors that opened for me doing the contacts with Don. And you know, he says, I mean, Luther Vandross. I mean, Luther, I remember people when Luther was doing the work. Don, and let's also talk about another guy that you knew. Before we get to the legendary Hal Jackson, we're going to get to sports fans, don't worry, but right
definitely.
Now we got a treat here. But before we get to Hal Jackson, you know, people don't understand entertainment-wise what a profound effect and the input, and those who have questions for Don, don't hesitate, that Don Kinnear's had on us, DT.
Yes, definitely. And now, I mean, it just goes on and on. And the more that we get into this kind of conversation and we speak about these different people, the humanistic sides of them are they were incredible. A lot of people didn't know these artists, you see them out and stuff. But sometimes, and when you're drawn in, you talk to them. The other night, when you just mentioned about Anita Baker, okay, the other night there was at the Carnegie Hall, Ray Chu and his wife Vivian Chu did a Black History Month celebration. It was called Motown. It was a celebration, a tribute to Motown. And on that bill was Anita Baker. And I sat in the audience and everything, but afterwards there was like a little meet and greet afterwards backstage. And she walked into the room, and I was in the room or something. But anyhow, we started towards each other, and she brought me back to all the memories of the things that we have done and did together, because I was, and I'm proud of it, one of the first individuals to even do a piece or a story on Anita Baker.
Anita Baker told me you were the first. The first.
Yeah.
Miss Baker told me Don Thomas was writing about me before everybody. And gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, you hear the humbleness of this man. This man, it's part of the legacy of Mr. Underwood brought into us. Grassroots papers. Service to others is rent you pay for your space on earth. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The Son of Man came and said, you know, Don has always, I mean, Don, Doc, I can't go to this thing. And for years, he sent, my daughter Demony still talks about it, he sent me and Demony every year to Rockefeller Center's Christmas show, because they would do that about 2 weeks before Christmas. And there, Demony, we met Billy Joel. We met Christy Brinkley. We were there every year. Anything, everything. Hey, give that to Demi. Demi would come, he would let Demi type on the typewriter. Then he let her play on the computer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I can't. The village.
She's gone on to be an incredible person too. Your daughter is really, blossomed. I've watched so many of the young folks that have just grown up now, and it's beautiful, man. And I'm blessed to be around to witness all that, because I have three grandchildren now.
Wow.
My daughter's been married for 20 years. My son-in-law and my daughter, we all live together. We have a two-family house out in Jamaica, Queens, but we're all together. My oldest granddaughter, Denise, now goes to Bridgeport University. My younger, Deandra, she's taking up a veterinarian. My grandson, DJ, just came back from Italy, believe it or not. And guess what he was over there doing? A soccer team.
football. I mean, football.
Yeah, he's into soccer, man. So hopefully I'm going to get him one day for you to talk to him about his experience of going. He's 12 years old, and the New York soccer team went and played. At the first they went to Rome, then they went to Italy for a week. Well, yeah, I'm going to try to hook you up with so you can talk to him.
This is what happened on the show. That's a bet. Don, having you here, and you're talking about legends,
Doc?
We got to talk about, somebody call?
Yes, Hoopster. Hey, good evening. Hey,
Hoopster. We got Don Thomas. Anybody has a question for Don, shout at me.
How you doing, sir? Hello?
You got a question for Don?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah, I want to know how tight he was with Blair Underwood.
Oh, yeah. I go way back. When Blair was a little guy, he would come up to the paper. He would do this. His uncle was Bill Underwood, who was the publisher of at that time we were called Big Red News. And Blair would come up and just like go to get the sandwiches and stuff like that. And he was also learning the craft of being an actor. So it was an incredible
good
relationship.
Actor.
Yeah,
good actor.
And he comes back still to our publication whenever he's like in town to visit and everything like that.
You tell him that I asked for him. He used to come to my theater.
I
used to work in a movie theater on 34th Street, 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
And we had a world premiere called Just Cause. He introduced me to Sean Connery and Lawrence Fishburne.
He gave him
some autographs. You let him know that I asked for him. He knows who I am.
Lewis Hart.
I definitely will. I get to see him occasionally now, not as much as we used to.
Niece. Too.
Okay, I'll definitely make sure if I get a chance to see him, because we see him so periodically now as opposed to back then.
I know he was on TV. He played the president one time on a
definitely,
TV show.
Definitely.
Four.
Okay,
great
my man.
DT, before you go, we you know, and then stay as long as you can. We got it wrong, we understand. But in talking to you, we saluted last November, right on Demony's birthday, and also Larry Holmes' birthday. And Hal Jackson, can we talk about Hal and the relationship we have with Hal?
Hal and I, and Debbie, you know, it's like a family thing all the time. You know, when I meet and greet. In fact, we just had Hal 97th birthday celebration.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible, you know, and I have been like close with Hal for a number of years. He's a beautiful person, and so is Debbie, and you know his wife Debbie now, she has her own photography exhibitions going on. She's doing incredible, and you know, they're doing their Sunday shows and everything. His books are out. He's doing wonderful, and every time we all are come together is doing Harlem Week, because they all take a play. They all take part in Harlem Week up there at the Grand Tune. They have the WBLS booth out there. It's just incredible, you know. Life has been great, you know, as far as it's the people that I've met and I've worked with, you know. And Hal Jackson is definitely and will always be. And I like to say, I never try to speak to people in the past tense, because they're always going to be present tense to me, whether they're here now or not. I will never speak to anybody like used to be or was. They are now and will forever be, you know? That's how I look at it.
Questions? Anybody have a question for Don Thomas?
Doc, the studio here.
Go ahead.
I finished walking my dog. Don, the studio here. Did you ever cross over to Latin music? The reason I'm asking you this, because in the tragedy of losing Whitney Houston, there was an icon of Latin music, Mr. Jimmy Sabater, who died this Wednesday.
Okay.
He was an integral member of the Joe Cuba Sextet and the author of that big, big crossover mega hit, To Be With You. And he died Wednesday of a triple bypass. And he was also the author of a lot of crossover Boogaloo days when the Latin music got into Boogaloo. And Bang Bang and To Be With You and Arianya, all those tunes. So I'm wondering.
Willie Colon and all them guys, man. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
But this is the Joe Cuba Sextet that gave a profound exposure to Latin music without the brass and trumpets and all that, just vibes and bass and singers.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy was a standout. In fact, I grew up with him in Spanish Harlem, where we used to play stickball together and all that. And I'm wondering if you ever got to know him, you know. And by the way, you were born in Harlem Hospital, the old building?
So
was I. I was
building,
a resident
right.
of the old building. I think you and I could have been Was it nursery roommates? No, but I'm a little older than you.
Yeah,
so.
I hear you. Yeah, well, you know, like some of the people that you mentioned, I have maybe not gotten an opportunity to meet them personally, but I knew them from what you're speaking of and how you're speaking of them. Because I used to go like a long time to the Palm Gardens or, you know, to the different places, especially the Palladium, man. Used to hang
there. Right, the old Palladium, yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, East Harlem, or Spanish Harlem, was actually the nursery of all the top, of the top musicians. Tito Puente was 103rd Street, 110 and 3rd Avenue. Joe Cuba was 103rd, and Lexington, Jimmy Sabater was 111.
Exactly.
Peter Conde was 105th, I was 104. We all did music and percussion, and some of us got big, and some of us didn't, like me. But I mean, but what I'm saying is that I'm wondering if you did, if you crossover, got to know these guys.
To speak up for Don, what Don did do, and Don's kind of forgetting it, every Monday at the Village Gate, South of Meets Jazz.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Don, I handled that, and Harriet Wazza, who was the head PR lady. Harriet Wazza was, she was Bobby Darin's PR lady, and Don said, you know, because Don was just, he got to the point that he was just so incredibly busy, and he said, hey, Doc, you know what, you want to handle this? I loved it. Every Monday night, I was down there through Don, the Village Gate, and at the Village Gate, I met Tito. Ralph Mercado. We became friends. Ralph Mercado, Ray Barreto, Tito Puente, Celia Cruz. Because Ralph would have that great show at the Garden. So, I mean, I met Jay Lo's husband before he became famous. But Ray Barreto, Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, Johnny Pacheco, mm-hmm. Pete Conde, mm-hmm. Yomo Thormo, Grand Combo. Every mm-hmm. Monday night at that Village Gate, and what would happen, happen, they'd have Salsa Meet Jazz, so I met Dizzy down there, John Stubblefield, and then the crowd that would come down there, there's Bill Cosby, there's Paul Simon, there's Jane Motors, the late Noel Pointer, anybody and everybody.
I used to live at the gate on Monday night, but my brother used to play there all
and
the
Don
time.
Would what happened, Mr. Smith kind of got on Don one time, you know. He says, Don, you know, look, Doc is an expert at what he does with the compliment. I don't want Doc doing any more Latin stuff. So Don called me, hey, Doc, look, Mr. Smith said he just wants you to point support, so just use another byline. So I used the name John Dios. Mr. Smith never knew who he was.
Don Dios
and so I was still
gone.
Down there. That's the great Don Thomas. Don, what a career that's been so profound and special. And I mean, you've met them all, Michael Jackson, Prince. Are there two or three memories that stand out in a career that stands on merits that are just superlative? Are there two or three memories that stand out? And what got you into entertainment anyway?
Well, how it started was like, see, I was always out. I was a night kind of club kind of person, so I would always be out at a different venue or something, just there, you know. And what happened was I used to, one of my favorite hanging places at that particular time in those days was McKell's and Brody's Supper Club. Both of them were located up on Columbus Avenue in the 90s. And I would just be in there, and a fellow named Bill Pruitt, they had just begun to start the Big Red News. And he would see me in there, and I would be just, communicating and talking with people. And he said, you know, you seem to kind of know a lot of little people around there. I said, well, geez, I said, I hang, and I get to meet them and everything. So he said, well, we're trying to start a publication. At that time, it was Big Red News. And he said, we just might want to do a little interview or a little something in our publication. I said, hey, man, I don't know enough about writing and all of this. So he said, well, hey, man, just gather something together. And it was Bill Pruitt who started me on this whole thing of entertainment. So how it happened, I would take a picture and I would put, say somebody was having a birthday party at one of the clubs, and I put I'd say, so-and-so had a birthday party, and I'd make a caption and I'd take it into the publication and they would print it. Then the next week somebody else would have a wedding, then I'd make a publication. And this is how it all, I'm just telling you how it all began. And then it started going into
the record labels or something. And one of the first, and once again, one of the first persons that really opened the door for me with the record company was Simo Doe at Atlantic Records. She said, I have an artist. His name was Philip Michael. And he said, he's going to be performing somewhere. Would you go and do a little story for me? I said, sure. I went and did the story and brought it back to her. And she said to me, you know, I have given a lot of people opportunities to go to a concert or something. And I never, they really never came back with anything. But she said, you came back. And I had the story and everything with the photo and all of that. So that door opened. And she passed my name on to other people and within the publicity departments at record companies like Sandra DaCosta and then Ruth Ennis and so on and so on, and just built on and it built on. So that's how I became interested into it. So then I had to enhance myself a little bit. So I went to the New School of Social Research, and I was under the tutorage of her name was Victoria Lucas. She had a public relations session at the New School of Social Research, where you learned speaking and you learned, writing and stuff of that nature. So she was very instrumental into what I was doing, too. And then it just started to blossom. And as you said before, Doc Stan, your name just caught on because you were doing, I think, what people said. And I came back with results from all the things that I was doing. And this is how it all developed, and it just kept on going. And here I am, 40 years later.
Roy Litt, the most renowned entertainment editor, African-American, oh, white, I remember.
And there's one thing I have to give a props to, and that was this is 2012. In 2010, I was chosen as one of the McDonald's Black Media Legends. I was on it with several other legends. And we were on that McDonald's poster and everything. And I
did that.
Yeah, that was in 2011. And then I also, and I believe in trying to give props out to other people that were very instrumental with me, too. Then there's Audrey J. Bernard. She's our lifestyles and beauty editor for the New York Times.
Yeah,
and she was on it last year. And then this year, our publisher, Miata Smith, was honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award for Black History Month. So, you know,
that's great.
It's like a chain reaction. You know, things go on and on. And Mel, for you to even give me this opportunity to just talk about the things that have happened within my life, I'm very honored with my relationship with you, too, because we go on and on and on forever and ever.
Don,
you're
a family man. You know, I love it. You know, when you're Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, the channel, Sports Network, the show, the legendary Don Thomas is with us as he talks about his career, and we remember Whitney Houston and Don. Well, Don, you know,
definitely,
there's so many. I remember David Fathead Newman, and you yeah. talk about and you talk about how, you know, going, you said, hey, Doc, I used to do some stand-up at the old Western Cafe. You said, Doc, look, you and Lizzie, I was dating Liz Rigo, y'all go ahead down
yes.
to the show. And we went down there. David had met David. He was ecstatic to see us. The red carpet was thrown out. You did the same thing when you had another fit at the Basis over at the legendary Blue Note. I mean,
yes.
and this is stuff, little residue, because you were too busy to go. I got it down, no problem, you know. And we just, but you know, there's no place this man walks into that he's not renowned. If you mention the name Don, Don, and you, it's amazing. You talked about that whole idea of giving back. The whole, you know, you showed you were part of the foundation, and what Destino so much talks about, and Mel saw grassroots. Because I remember Bernie Camingo, who used to be the PR guy for the Nets and was PR guy for the Giants. And I remember what him and John Condon told me, you know. And I remember Wally Matthews said, you know, Doc, my paper doesn't sell suits. People read the news, the Times, Newsday automatically. It's the grassroots papers who bring out the real fans and cause the sellout. They are the guys, writers, who put the people in the cheap seats. And here's a guy that's bumped shoulders with Prince and Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, president, and he's talking about the grassroots. And it was funny because when Don told me, he said, yeah, he said, you know, they got me on this poster. He said, it's really funny. He said, they say I'm a legend, so I am on this poster this year. You know, just so nonchalant, so humble. But, you know, those of you listening across the United States and across the world, you're talking about one of the legendary figures, a profound effect on African-American entertainment and American history. And if you're number one in New York City, you're number one El Mundo, Don Thompson. Don, I know you got to run, but could you just talk so much again?
Yeah, but there's a couple of more people that I have got to give a shout out. And one
go
of
ahead, go ahead, Don,
one
please,
of them,
please.
There's three of them. There's Freddie Jackson. There's Melba Moore. There's Allison Williams. I mean, and it could go on and on and on. And these are artists that, hey, man, if at your second call, they're there, man. And Mel, once again, I'm getting ready now to chill back and get ready. I know you're going to be looking at this Grammys tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I got to
okay.
watch these Grammy Awards tonight because they're going to be honoring. And at 50 years, she's been out here and never once got a Grammy, but tonight she's being honored with the Living Legends Award, Diana Ross.
You mean that? You tell Diana Ross never won a Grammy?
She has never had a Grammy Award, but tonight she's being honored with a Living Legends Award. I mean, and not only that, they're also going to make sure that they do this tribute to Whitney Houston. And I've got to be ready for it. I'm going to chill back and get ready for it, man.
Okay.
And Mel, once again, I want to thank you so much, man, for this opportunity to be on your show and to talk about things that we have both accomplished. But that's what life is about. It's about sharing and caring, man. And you are definitely one of those people.
Well, Don, the door's open here. The platform here. This is your home. We love you, Don. Did the Supremes ever win a Grammy?
No, they've never like won a Grammy in that respect. No, all these years they sang, they did their thing. Their recognition is unbelievable, but there's never been a Grammy. But tonight, they will be an honor, and I hope everybody that's out there get an opportunity to look in. Because she's another one of my favorites.
Go ahead.
Don, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
What is your take or your reaction to the fact that the hierarchy of the Grammys, and I call it racist, eliminated Latin jazz as a category? And this is horrible, man. I mean,
they determined that it was
just as contemporary as regular jazz.
Exactly.
And it shouldn't have been a separate category.
Well, hey, listen, like you said before, the powers that be do the things that they... I can understand where you're coming from and how you're saying it, but the powers that be, sometimes you just have to do exactly what you're saying.
And Staples Center of all the musicians and all those guys regarding that. I hope it doesn't turn into a riot, but they're out there protesting.
I'm hearing you loud and clear, man. But like, hey,
Don, you said you had one more name you wanted to recognize and mention.
Oh, who did I get up in there? I got my Freddie Jackson up in there. I got
Freddie Jackson
had
Alistair.
And I definitely got to get my Stephanie Mills up in there.
Stephanie Mills.
Who was a member at my old church? Her nickname was Cookie. She used to go to Cornerstone Baptist Church. I remember Sunday.
Now.
One Sunday they came in and she had the whole cast of the Wiz sitting up front in costume. The Yellow Brick Road came to Cornerstone Baptist Church. The Yellow Brick Road came to Cornerstone Baptist Church, and I remember Dr. Sandy F. Ray was a close friend of both Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Senior, and Dr. King. I think Dr. King was walking into our church. Now, your birthday is
on and on.
Now, your birthday is the 29th. Your birthday was last month. What date last month?
My birthday is January 31st, man. January
31st. Same birthday. You know, it's amazing
Jackie Robinson and apple pie.
That's right. Jackie, too. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody's happy birthday to Don Thompson before he leaves.
Happy birthday, Don.
And listen, I'll definitely be...
Feliz cumpleaños.
Thank you. This was an honor, man, to be on your show with you, Mel. And thank you so much. And I'm breathless. Thank you.
Hey, you'll be back. Don, thanks so
all
much.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel. portion of the show, you know, entertainment and sports intertwine so much, and you know, and the opening of this thing, Larry Hardesty says something that's quite profound. And today, when you heard, let's go back for a minute. Listen to this. A little Larry.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought
makers, shakers, and Don Thomas, from entertainment wise, has been that. He has Dr. King said it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. But you can have longevity with quality. The consistency makes a great athlete. And Don Thomas has been a profound part of the entertainment world, not only in New York City, but the entire world. But if you're number one here, there's no question that you're number one across the globe. We're going to take a break, and the gang's all here. We're going to talk. We got some boxing to talk about. Last night, the 105th Millsville game was, for the first time ever, not held in Madison Square Garden up in Washington Heights. And for the first time ever, it was at the Armory. And one of the big things they talked about was the inducement of playing at the Armory, which would lead to faster meet record, pro record. And last night they had a couple of them. We're going to be right back in a minute. There's another solid hour to go, but we want to take a minute in Black History Month and talk to a guy who's had a profound effect upon African-American history here in our country. I remember Whitney, who, like I said, I remember performing in front of her at the legendary
Sweetwater
Club uptown, the old Sweetwaters, and also
that's why I never went, because I knew you were appearing and I didn't want to hear your corny jokes.
listen, wow. And you were too busy in the kitchen cooking. Cut it out. we'll be right. Hey,
oh,
but
I
tell you what.
Get that with it.
Hey, Dusty, I'm telling you something else, baby. Hey, and listen, you made a bad plate of beans and rice, baby. They couldn't touch it. They couldn't touch them beans and rice, baby. We'll be right back, and Doc Stanley's for them
okay.
On the Blake Radio Network. And don't nobody move. We'll be right back in uno momento.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. For your body and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
They're all here, and they were all there last night at the 105th Millsville game, and one of the races was just really a tremendous race. He had the wife of Ross, who was one of the Super Bowl champion players on the Giants, in a 60-yard dash that had an astonishing 3 Olympic gold medal winners in one race. All the favorites won last night. But before we get to the Millsville game. Go ahead, Hoosa.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate my old high school, Thomas Jefferson High School. As you know, they beat Boys High for the Brooklyn AA Championship. I want to congratulate them. So, unbelievable.
Hoosa, I went to Boys High. You didn't have to bring
sorry,
it up.
Sorry about that, but hey, we never, hey, while I was there, you could never beat us. So, hey, I was saying, what the hell?
You know, last night, Boys High also won the...
Boys High was good, man. Boys High was great.
Well, last night at the Millsville game, they won the 440. I was really
yeah,
more
yeah,
than boys
they
and girls
track,
out
yeah.
now. But well, hey, congratulations to them. We're going to talk more Millsville game, but real quickly, as Lady A has joined us, ladies first, we got to talk boxing, and we're going to talk boxing. We're going to talk. I'm going to have some live interviews from last night's Millsville game. I really want everybody that was associated with the Millsville game, Dave Hersher, Mike Paul, which it was Lady and Fit. That's just a great, great setup. But real quickly, Lady A, we got some fights coming up, and tell us about them.
Can I start off by saying hello to everybody in the panel?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and good Sunday to everybody on the panel. Hello to everybody.
Hello, Lady
home
A.
I raced home after my normal hour commute from work, but it ended up being more than an hour today. So.
Wow.
All right, right. In Queens, mind you, from the other side of Queens to the other side of Queens, 1 hour and change. But anyway.
Hey, wow. Better late than never, Lady A. Better late than never.
Yeah, I know that you were talking basketball when I just got in the queue, Doc. Question,
go ahead.
Since you guys were talking basketball. How about Noah, huh? Who'd have thought he'd have been the basketball player he is today, and is coming from a tennis background family, huh?
It was amazing that you said that, because I remember meeting his dad, and the big thing about his dad, Yannick, was that the year, the only major I believe he ever won was the French Open, and it was...
Open also. He had a couple of stints at the U.S. Open.
I think he only won one major. The U.S. Open, but it happened to be, I mean, if there was one major to win, being a guy from France, that was it. But I remember one time I had read where, and you can't always believe what you read, but Arthur Ashe said he was more concerned about being a Frenchman than African-American, but that's a lot of the mindset of Europeans who don't see color as a factor.
Right.
But yeah, his son has been an outstanding basketball player. And we talked about...
Wasn't he first-round draft choice?
Mm.
And then we're talking basketball. We got to talk about the Oriental guy that's raising hell for the Knicks now.
Oh, my Lord, my Chinese brother.
It's so funny that you said that. A lot of kids was asking, one of my neighbors was asking about him. I said, I'm going to wait and see. And then when he did against Kobe Bryant,
wow.
I didn't know what to say. And then in that wizard game, he went down the middle and threw it down. I said, this kid's no joke. The guy's from Harvard University.
Yeah.
Was in two teams, was being cut by Houston and Golden State, and is in the D League. Now
exactly.
He's on his brother's couch. Unbelievable. What can you say about him?
He's
got
tremendous.
Cut. He's something else. He's something else.
Let me say this, okay? That kid is the truth. There's no flash in the pan. He's going to be good for 2 or 3 weeks. That kid is the truth, okay?
He reminds me of Doc. He reminds me of Steve Nash, but more aggressive going to the basket.
That's a hell of an analogy, Hoopstar.
You compare him to Nash is a hell of an analogy, let me tell you.
I'm saying going to the hoop. He's more aggressive
going
to the hoop.
Right.
That's what I said.
It's unfortunate that if you're going to look at the panorama, the whole picture of the Knicks, it's amazing how they had this guy, Italian kid, Gallinari. Now they have Lin, Oriental, Carmelo Anthony, Puerto Rican. They have Felipe Lopez, but they let him go, Dominican. It would have been a United Nations of basketball right here in New York City. And if the cameras panned the audience in the Garden the other day against the Lakers, and all you saw was Oriental faces. You can imagine.
Yeah.
You can imagine
that for half an hour too.
Right, having a Dominican section, a Puerto Rican section, an Oriental section, and the rest were African Americans. My God, I mean, it's amazing. But No, but the kid is talented. I mean, where he ran and deked out and ran around corners and those 3-pointers. Last night, I didn't see the game, but I heard that it was his last his 2-point bucket that saved the Yankees.
Yeah, he got bounced around last night. They were roughing him up last night. They made sure he was going to the basket. They roughed him up last night, but he dropped 20 points. Well, you got to give it to him, though.
Right, and he dropped the winning 2-point, I think it was.
They got to start making them 3 throws, though. They got more. They would make their 3 throws.
You
know what? I mean, it just says something. I mean, once these guys all get healthy, my condolences to Amari, you know what I'm saying, and losing his brother, it was funny. I shouldn't say funny, but I should say it's ironic because the cover of today's Daily News had, Whitney dying, right? And then later on in the sports section, they had Amari. I don't know if you guys saw the picture with her, with her blood on her legs.
Yeah, I saw it.
From her shooting up, I guess, in her legs or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the thing that makes Slim Kid special, if I may, the thing that makes him special from what I have seen of him is he brings a unique energy that seems to just energize and galvanize everybody else that's on the floor with him, you know, as far as his team. And he has the ability to see the court really well. He gets the ball to guys in positions, like getting the pill in. It's going to be great when Amari comes back because he works down low anyway. I'm very interested to see how Carmelo and he is going to mesh. I'm very interested to see how that's going to go down.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's what they need, though. The Knicks need that. They need somebody to come and bring a little more energy to the team, you know?
Yeah. You know who his mentor is? His mentor is, my God, I forget his name, the 7'7" Oriental guy.
Yao Ming.
That's his mentor. He's been teaching him how to play ball. And it's refreshing to see a young man like that, you know, that can play basketball the way he's played. I mean, he has played like a veteran. I mean, I hope this is not just a flash in the pan for the first few days, but he played like a veteran, not afraid to move. I mean, not afraid to move the ball and do what he has to do and pass. That's one thing I noticed. He's not a ball hog. He passes.
No.
He passes the ball. Yeah.
If you're open, he'll get you the pill. If you're open, he'll get you the pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
he's 23 years old. He's just still learning.
Hey, Hoopster, what do you think about Rondo's season so far for Boston?
Wow.
Oh, he's tearing them up right now. He's a good point guard.
Yep.
He's very good. I like Rondo.
Yeah.
They had a trade room on him. They wanted to trade him, you know.
I know. I heard. That's why I was asking you what you think about him. I mean,
I like Rondo. He's good. They get rid of him, the Celtics can't forget it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Wow. But, you know, they're an older team, too, you know, so.
Yeah, that window is closing quickly.
He's turning up Chicago right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's turning up Chicago right now. I think he made the All-Star game.
Y'all are going to watch it this year, or you? It's kind of a short season, like, for, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll watch it. Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be too many people. NBA. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as many people. I mean, there wasn't too many games so far this season, you know?
Yeah.
I think people were voting just based on popularity, really, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Get nominated to the All-Star game.
What happened?
Get Lynn nominated to the All-Star game.
Yeah, you never know.
You have a Chinese connection there.
You never know.
But he's still learning. He's only 23 years old. He's still got a lot to learn about the game.
Yep.
He's only
23. Let's just hope his knees hold up, because you know how guys are. After a certain amount, their knees go. Let's just hope his knees hold up.
The knees are shot, yeah.
And you know whose coach was at Harvard? Was Doc.
Doc. Yep. He probably stepped away.
Tommy Amaker was his coach at Harvard University.
Really? Tommy Amaker was his coach?
At Harvard, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Wow,
that was his coach
from
in
Duke.
Harvard. Yeah.
From Duke.
Duke. Yep.
That's
my boy. Get out of here. Oh.
Seawings, did you ever join us? Hold on, gang. Seawings with us?
No.
Seawings? I thought Seawings. What? Harold. Harold's here?
Yeah, I'm here.
We can't talk about Harold, real quickly, because getting back to Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Soda Chill Sports Network the show, we're going to get to those Melrose game interviews for you. Harold, you must have been up Sweetwater's a lot. You probably ran into Whitney and Phyllis Hyman. Did you meet some of those singers?
Whitney Houston is my cousin.
What?
Really?
My condolences on your loss, Harold.
My condolences, man. I mean, shout out to
Houston. That's a mind blow, of course.
Crazy.
She's my, my uncle was married to Whitney's mother's sister.
Wow.
Thursday. I went to family.
It's a shame.
Function.
It's a shame.
That was the church that made me turn Catholic.
Yeah?
When we went to church in Jersey,
because my grandmother lived in Jersey, and that's where all the family gathered and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle and Whitney Houston, Sister Houston and Dionne Warwick and all them, and their father.
Yeah,
their
cousins
that,
too, right.
They
right.
had the church. I mean, that church, we got there at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. And stayed there almost until like 5-8 o'clock in the evening. I mean, it was all
long service.
Long. And that's what made me say, okay, this ain't gonna work. I'm gonna have to turn Catholic. so.
you had your rosary beads, Harold? You had your whole rosary beads and everything, Harold, at the church?
I mean, I wasn't all that. I mean, I was forced to go. That was the whole thing. I was forced to go. But, no, I met Whitney Houston in 1960, what was it, 68 or 69, something like that. But she was like about 9 years old or something like that.
Wow.
And I was like about, I was 16 or 17 years old, because I'm 11 years older than she is.
The Whitney, okay.
So, I met her then. And then when they came to Sweetwater, where I used to hang out all the time, I came down there for a couple of shows to see her and her mother perform and everything. And I knew back then that she was going to be a superstar and everything. But, we're family. I mean, we're real family and everything. I mean, the family used to always gather together every Sunday, have those big old dinners and everything when I was growing up and everything. And, it was a real guy. And we used to, in Jersey, I used to go to Jersey. My mother used to take me over there every Friday after school. And I used to stay with my grandmother on the weekends and stuff. And it was crazy, crazy world back then. But, Dionne was the star. Dionne Warwick was the star, and she was coming up. And then he had her other sister who was singing. She was coming through the ranks at the time. But they had that church for a long, long time. I mean, a long, long time. But that's family and everything. But get back to boxing. What is it about boxing?
Doc, you was going to ask him something? Because I was going to ask him something.
Oh,
Doc.
Good lady, eh?
Oh, no. I'll ask Harold a question real quick. Harold, I don't know if you saw, did you see that Chavez fight? Chavez?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Sergio Martinez's trainer, I shouldn't say his trainer, I'm sorry, his manager, Lou DiBella,
right.
promoter, manager, whatever, Lou DiBella, he was saying that Martinez, he wants Martinez to be set to fight him next. I mean, what do you think about his approach if he is going to fight Martinez? What do you think he's going to have to do in that fight?
I mean, he's going to have to do a lot. He's going to have to learn how to fight. My point is that if the fight does happen, I mean, it'll be a good little fight. I mean, he'll get a lesson. But the fact is that I don't think much of Chavez. I mean, he's been built off of bums, and he got handpicked at the world championship.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He couldn't get handpicked to get a world championship the way he did.
Right.
On top of that, I mean, he's made a lot of money.
In that division, Harold, like my thing was is instead of Chavez, I would much rather have tried to see him, fight Alvarez. You know what I'm saying? Canelo Alvarez. He seemed like a better fighter to me than Chavez.
It doesn't really mean anything who he fights. I mean, unless he's fighting the best, which he's not, then basically he's going to be out there just doing the same thing that he's been doing, like all the rest of the fighters that been fighting out there. And so, my whole thing with him is that everybody is that's the reason why boxing in the state as it is, because, I mean, people are obviously seeing the ringers where they can pick their own opponent. And they're getting away with winning fights and talking about their great fights and all that. I mean, these so-called people at the networks and especially at the boxing
emotional
world,
level.
You know, they think the people are stupid watching a fight, and you tell him that it's a great fight, and look at the movement he's made, and look how he just put his hands up right. I mean, it's just the ridiculous thing I ever seen announcers try to make a fight a great fight, which is not. And I mean,
they're trying to make a classic out of a bum fight, and it's true.
Right.
But you see, the piggybacking on you, Harold, is the fact that you got. The promoters, again, this is my bitch with the promoters dictating, because Martinez was demanding to fight Chavez.
Right.
Jose Suleiman comes in and then calls him and says, step back, let him fight Rubio, or whatever his name is, Rubio. Let him fight Rubio. Once he gets the defense in, then I can hook you up with Chavez. Chavez ain't going to fight him.
And you can make the same argument, Harold. You can make the same argument too for the nonsense with Bradley and Pacquiao in October. Really? Come on, man.
The problem with Pacquiao in this situation, he really don't have nobody to fight except for.
Exactly.
You know,
that makes it intriguing.
My point is that he's fighting one guy that's going to be a very aggressive and trying to put a fight to it. But you know, as you get down to it, Manny Pacquiao really doesn't have nobody to fight. Who could we put him together with except for Mayweather? Who else is there for him to fight?
I think the question here is, Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake with another Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network the show. I mean, if Mayweather's the only guy to fight, how come he's still not fighting Mayweather?
I think the fact is that they can't get along with the fact of the money, and then you got the arm and Mayweather not really really good people that they don't like each other, and there's a personality situation there. And that's
what happens. So somewhere along the line here, you know. You know, and I've said this, and I'm going to continue. It's a fight that Aram doesn't want to make. And if DK was a promoter and this fight didn't come off, they'd be in DK's butt. And, you know, somewhere along the line, Packer has to say, hey, Bob, let's do this. Let's do this.
You got to understand the money that's involved. We're not talking about $2 million or $200,000. We're talking about Manny Pacquiao makes $25 million. No matter who he fights.
Yeah,
Aram is pocketing his money too. Now, if you got something
I'm not going to jeopardize,
this is your only station that you're on. This is the only thing you get paid off. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, if you lose this station because somebody cursed on the station, you're going to make sure nobody cursed on the station.
Call in next week.
But my point is, you want to protect what you own because you can't get paid if you lose one situation out of it.
Isn't there a certain amount of pride that says, hey, man, I want to fight the best. Let's get this done.
Harold, let me finish what I'm trying to say. He brought up a point about the money. You know, Harold brought up a point about the money. My question to Harold was, Harold said, oh, you know, this guy, he makes about $25 million. Harold, is that just fight day, or is that pay-per-view without pay-per-view or
that's
with pay-per-view?
That's all he fights is pay-per-view.
Well, when you sign...
Wait, stop. What did you say, Harold? That it's just what?
That's all he fights is pay-per-view.
Oh, so that's just on pay-per-view. That's not ticket sales at the actual arena.
No. Lady A, when you sign a contract, you know dollars and cents exactly what you're going to get, whether it's a combination of the initial purse and or the percentages of the pay-per-view and whatever else. That's the contract. You know that when you put your John Hancock on a contract, you see.
My thing is just because out of that $25 million, how much is he getting then? If he's, you know.
My point, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Y'all are both talking. I can't hear what. What do you say?
Mayweather makes $25 million by himself.
Okay, all right.
Right. So Mayweather is also a $25 million a fight person. Whether it's a combination or whatever agreement, that's what he's going to get, or else he doesn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to get back to the negotiations, which never became negotiations, with Pacquiao and Mayweather. Mayweather's calling him out for May 5th. Pacquiao was telling him, yes, I'm ready to fight, but I got my promoters paying me what I want, presumably $25 million. Now, you got your promoter to pay you your money. And if that's not the case, well, then let's go for parity. Mayweather says, hell no, I'm the champ. I'm not giving you parity. To me, that's ridiculous because they're both on an even scale when it comes to this fight. Now, of what happens, Bob Iverson turns around and he goes to the Philippines with four, one from column A, one from column B, whoever you want, pick and choose. So he picked the most advantageous or the most aggressive, which is the undefeated Tim Bradley, which justifies a pay-per-view. Other than that, he's gonna do Cotto again and Margarito again and who else? Oh, Lamont Peterson, who's no draw. I mean, so he has to get the most viable guy, which is Tim Bradley. Okay? Now, what happens with Cotto, he's out of the bag because he did not re-sign with Bob Arum. And he had said, Lady A, you were there. He says, I'm free to sign with everybody. I'm a free agent.
Yeah, he said that. I remember he said that, yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya was chomping at the bit for December 31st for that contract to die. The contract died. Cotto did not re-sign. And he turns around and he said, I can get him Mayweather. Man, sure is shooting. There he is. Mayweather, May 5th, Miguel Cotto, which is
and
a
I
good
heard Mosley might be fighting on that undercard,
yeah,
too,
he
right?
He is definitely fighting Canelo Alvarez on the underneath card of Cotto and Mayweather. That's a that's a signed fight. I mean, so these are two lucrative fights that make sense, but what doesn't make sense is the constant soap opera squabbling, which I've been writing about, between Mayweather and Pacquiao. Now, is it because, and it's been proven that Bob Arum does not want to see this fight. Why? Because, like I said, Mayweather is going to beat Pacquiao. And don't be surprised if Timothy Bradley, as short as he is and coming at Pacquiao, will hurt and beat Pacquiao. Pacquiao has not looked the same.
Does he have a chance because Pacquiao is now not only slowing down, but because of what happened in the Marquez fight?
Well, Bradley has a chance to beat Pacquiao because he hasn't looked good in the last few fights. And let me tell you, people forget, and this is where you go into a blind side, they forget, oh, he destroyed and killed Margarito. BS. He may have done that on paper, and you may have seen that, but he took a beating Margarito. And he has not been the same since then. He thought he had broken ribs, his hands were messed up, his face was blotched up, and now he goes and fight Marquez, and Marquez slapped the crap out of him, and now he's going to fight a monster.
Not only that, but I think the key thing to that fight with Marquez was he exploited him more than he had in any other fight, I think, in this fight.
Everybody knew Marquez was a tough fight. Hold on, let's do a little tennis call here right now. I want to check my gang here. I've got Lady A, I've got the Hoopster, I've got Dusty. I got Harold, Mel Cosell. I'm looking at an extra call. Who's joining us?
C-Wings is here. Good evening.
Okay, C-Wings, we did a vote. We're not going to do Jet Football until about August. Call us back in about 2 months.
Call us when you move.
Hey, C-Wings, the name is Jason Pierre Wall, okay?
Wait, we're going with a front runner. My God.
Wow.
We're going to talk football with C-Wings in a minute as we get this boxing debate. C-Wings,
you asked the same question that I was going to ask Harold is why we haven't seen that fight. And he said that Bob Arum and Mayweather, you know, personality clashed. But I think that will set a platform even more for this fight to happen. You know what? I don't like you. You don't like me.
There's two things here. First of all, there's two things here. Bob Arum doesn't have to fight the fight. And if Mayweather, if Pacquiao loses the fight, he loses just as bad as Pacquiao.
Well, it also, to back up what you said, Doc, the fact of the matter is, which is so healthy, and I'm happy about it, Harold knows where I'm coming from, is that all three of these fighters, De La Hoya, Mayweather, and Cotto, were all cash cows for Bob Arum, and they left him.
Yeah, of course.
What did he do? He slammed them, they're ungrateful, I made them rich, and now they leave me.
Dusty, have you forgotten, too, that all the fighters that Pacquiao's fighting are all Bob Arum fighters?
Right, yeah, but those are the ones that are still in the stable. But
who else is he fighting? He's not fighting anybody outside of his own camp.
These are the three guys who left them and made, got their own promotional things. Now, one of the things that he did to control Cotto, I don't know if you guys know about it, he says, no, 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 he can't fight Mayweather. He owes me one more fight. And because of the fact that we were supposed to, and he canceled our fight because of his injury, he tried to put a stop on this thing. Somebody must have gotten to him. Somebody, cooler heads prevailed. I think his son-in-law, Ad DeBuff, or Ad DeBuff, he says, as far as I'm concerned, Cotto has the reign to do what he, and Bob Arum came to terms and understands that Cotto's a free agent. He can do what he wants to do.
Now,
what pressure
Chelsea,
they put on Bob Arum?
Captain, I said this the last time. You cannot stop a man from making a living, okay?
Exactly.
No matter how you hate him. Bob Arum probably had papers, but he can't stop the fight from not happening.
Absolutely.
Okay? So that's what the whole thing was about. I mean, everybody too goes around. These papers that these promoters, yeah, he can sue you. Yeah, he might can get a few dollars out of it, but he can't stop the event if it goes on. That promoter wants to still make it happen.
But also, like you guys don't haven't looked, I mean, basically, he's pretty much trying to run a monopoly. I mean, everybody this guy Pacquiao has fought has been from his camp. Margarito, Cotto, freaking Bradley now. Keep going on and on. It's like everybody's from his
He has
his
a monopoly,
camp.
Yes. He has a monopoly.
Let me say this, okay? Just let me say this really quickly, okay? I've been saying this to this incredible panel for the last 6 months. I don't know if you are listening to me or not. This fight is never, N-E-V-E-R, never coming off. Okay, I know everyone wants to see it. I know the fans are trying to demand it. Mayweather Pacquiao is never coming off.
It's not going to happen.
It's as simple as that. It's not going to happen.
And you know what? And basically, everybody's still going to think of Mayweather as the baddest man in the planet because he still got an O, okay, and Pacquiao got a couple of losses. So there you go.
Yeah.
That basically going to happen.
Let me ask you a question, Lady A. Now, you said, you know, everyone's saying that this fight, it won't happen. But don't you think that even if he fights, if they fight and Pacquiao loses, wouldn't that serve as a stage to, like, a trilogy fight? I mean, okay, Pacquiao loses, let's fight again. You know, wouldn't that set the stage for that or no? You don't think?
It would set the stage, but you got to look at how many – you got to look at already how many times he's been exploited, too. Look at Marquez. Marquez, I think out of those fights that he's had, there's only been – like, even though they've been draws, a lot of people still feel that Marquez has won a few fights on him.
Yep, absolutely. But what
I'm saying, so
if Pacquiao loses to Mayweather, which I believe he will, it depends on how the fight ends, whether it's by knockout or a close split decision. However it goes, that will demand and whet the appetite of the fight fan to say, let's see another one. You see? But I have a funny gut feeling that Pacquiao is just doing his bum of the month campaign, and after Bradley,
bum of the month.
And he's getting ready to retire. I don't see Pacquiao doing two or three more fights.
He wants to run for president of his country in about 2 years. That Pacquiao window is closing rapidly.
Exactly, and boxing is interfering with his congressional job. So he wants to lean more towards that now. So he's picking and choosing. Bradley is a good money fight. Who knows if after Bradley, win, lose, or draw, he's going to say, that's it, I had enough. Hey, you know, but this is the basic thing that, and then this is another thing that the audience, the fight fan, who were pining and waiting for the big fight heard around the world, Pacquiao and Mayweather, when it was a $40 million pot, are saying, I'm tired, I'm bored. This thing is never going to come through. They're losing interest, especially.
And they are, Dusty. They are. Yeah. Because they're frustrated by this fight. Now, they've been wanting this fight to go down for the better part of 2 years. And they're frustrated and starting to get angry about it with a kind of, well, damn, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Because they've been holding up for the longest time.
And I think that what that does is it causes a big blemish on boxing. Because, I mean, you got to have these guys out here. That's why you got to have the guys like Harold putting together real fight cards, you know, and not putting together these bums, you know, not picking in there, you know. And that's why, and that's what it's about. I mean, you have to make boxing into, you have to do something to restore the luster of boxing.
Lady
plain
A,
and simple.
Let me tell you something.
I mean,
boxing has had a black eye perennial black eye for God knows how long.
Yeah, but this, I think,
and
is going to solidify everything, I think, really.
It is getting worse and worse.
That's what I'm
saying.
Harold said it the other day. It's gonna, I mean, this is going to solidify it, really, if nothing changes. I mean,
it's
what it's going to do.
You're saying they're setting it up like wrestling? Like, we're going to make this match, but Hulk Hogan, you're going to win this one.
I'm going to say it. Yes, I'm going to say it. I bet you I can go to any boxing show, and I can pick every winner that goes on fight on that show.
And in the red corner.
Would you please come to me?
What'd you say?
And
in the red corner.
Vegas, please come to me. Come with me to Vegas, please.
You preach it, Harold. You preach it, Harold. You preach it.
And it's supposed to be a competition, and you know who's going to win the situation.
You preach it, Harold. Harold, preach it.
I mean,
they're not ready for the OG.
At least I know when I'm looking at a football game, I don't know who's going to win the game. We all have our opinions, but we don't know who's going to win the game.
Dustin Harrell and the church said, amen. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the plate for the number. Rainbow Shows the Tale Sports Depth for the show. We're going to take a little break here from boxing. Get back to Sea Wings and talk a little football. I guess we're going to talk about football. JJJ. Last night, football still played a big part at the Millrose games. As you know, last week the Giants won the Super Bowl. And this week we had at the... It was a really kind of interesting thing, too. It really was something. The Howard Schwartz Women's 4,000-meter dash. A young lady by the name of Sonya Richards-Ross, who is the wife of Ross, who's on the Giants. She won her dash. It was an amazing thing last night at Millrose game. Historic. First time you ever had a Millrose game that was not in Madison Square Garden. And one of the things that all the athletes talked about was how the track at the Millrose game was just really so much better for records. It was a faster track. As a pro, athletes talked about they favored the Armory. More races are ran there. And in the press conference that we had the other day, when I was talking to some of the runners, and as you know, the champion, Jenny, let's see, last night we had all the favorites win. LaShawn Merritt, he won. Jenny Simpson became the first woman to win the 1,500-meter gold. She won last night. The mile legend, Bernard Leggett, he ran 1,500 meters last night. He won. High jumper Jesse Williams, he won. Darren Oliver won the dash. LaShawn Merritt, another gold medal winner, he won. And the lady who came in second, also an outstanding runner herself, Jenny, we're going to get her correction, her last name for you, too. But she talked with us about the idea of running on a track that was advantageous to the runners and not so much caught up in the mystique and the, you know, the like fighters, Howard, you know, everybody, you know, wants to fight at the Garden, you know, the mystique and the thing of fighting the Madison Square Garden. And let's just listen to her. We'll listen to the winners last night.
Hey, Doc.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, I was just going to ask you, was Usain Bolt there? Usain Bolt or no?
Who's that?
Usain Bolt. The winner of the from the Olympics, 100 meters?
I
thought he might have been in the crowd or something. You know, go ahead, I'm listening.
No. He wasn't. Mo Green was there. Mo Green was in the crowd.
Okay.
Take a nice picture with Mo. Mo was there. Egna Coughlin, the legendary miler, he was there. And I think you're going to see a lot more people coming there. But let's do some interviews, some insights, some winners. At the first ever Millrose game held at the Armory, not at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, it's historic, kind of historic. I said, not at the Garden, first time at the Armory, and let's go and talk to some of the runners.
As exciting as it is to run in Madison Square Garden, racing in the Armory gives us a shot of, like, you know, kind of going after a quick time as well. And so in the indoor season, which is usually pretty short, only a few races, most people only do a few races, you really want to maximize every opportunity.
Because that's exactly what they were saying, that it's
conducive
to you. And, you know, as long as it's New York City,
yeah.
And it's still the Millrose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is really cool with Madison Square Garden. It's right in the middle of every my freshman year in college, and I thought it was really cool. But, you know, the Armory is still in New York. It's an amazing building. The Hall of Fame is there. It's got a lot of history, and, you know, I think as long as it stays in New York, I think it's still the middle of the game. So.
When you've been there, you've done that, and you're a pro, and you're a pro now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that was the situation there. We were talking about what so many of the runners were talking about, the fact that even though it wasn't the garden, and she said, you know, as long, and they that's what they talked about, you know, the people who really are excited about running in the garden are the amateurs, the high school kids, or the college kids who can say, I ran at the garden. The pros, they're looking to excel. And let's go back to some interviews from last night's 105th Millrose game, first time ever, not in Madison Square Garden and at the Armory. And let's continue with a winner last night, LeSean Merritt. He's kind of honest. He says you can't miss what you never had, but he said to have never run in Madison Square Garden probably been something that had been missing off his resume. Last night he won amazingly. He said he really had no particular strategy, but you know, kind of stumbled, but still won. And I see he's Olympian. And another winner at last night's 105th Millrose game, first time ever not in Madison Square Garden. Up at the Armory, and let's go back to talk to some more winners at the 105th 2012 Millrose game. And with that, let's go back to some interviews.
Yeah, I'll go for probably the conference one. I'll be doing maybe the mile of 3K. We still decided the coach, because I want to still go for that. and see a record for the mile. They are not satisfied with three days apart, but even if they do well today, you know, I want to just go there, do my best, run a good time better than 3:55, because I know I'm capable of doing better than that. Yeah, especially with my training mates here. They have done better than that, so probably, you know, I'll do better than that.
Bernard Legat, hang right with us, gang. Get the rest of that interview for you. Maybe we won't right now. A little technical difficulty, so we'll be back with that. But Bernard was a big winner last night, came back and won the 1500s, set a new meet record. He had really came away from running the Wanamaker Mile. Also, the other big winner last night was Miss Ross. Her race was an amazing race. It was really something. When you found that you had in one race, you had three women who were not only Olympians, but Olympian gold medal winners. Natasha Hastings from Brooklyn, and, you know, Miss Ross, we talked about her. She was there, and also Sharifa Lloyd, or was it Frondor. So you had three ladies in one race who were Olympians, and Natasha, who won this race last year. Ross had said, knowing that Natasha was there, she knew that she was going to push her and make her excel. And it turned out she set a meet record, and she was elated at the fact that for back-to-back weekends and her family championships were obtained. We'll do some more Milrose in a minute, but we're back here to a little more boxing. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports is there for the show. We've got the gang here. We've got C-Wing, let's talk football. So, what does the future hold for the Jets? What does the NFL look like next year? Any more fuss and ravings by the commissioner about the Pro Bowl game? Is the Pro Bowl game still going to be had? Is it still going to be in Honolulu? What's the 411 on that?
It hasn't been any more talks about it. I'm sure it will be in the off season as they have their meetings. You have the combine coming up. So, I mean, there's plenty of time for them to decide what they're going to do with it. But I don't think they're going to get, you know, get rid of it. I hope not. I mean, that's a day that the guys look forward to because they take their families out. You know, basically they spend, you know, their whole check on bringing their families out. You know, you're in Hawaii. You get to see a lot of the guys that you've either played against or you haven't played against, but you're good friends. So it's more like a family atmosphere. You know, there hasn't been too much talk about it lately on the aspect of Peyton Manning. We know since the last show he's been cleared, but he also has a big hurdle, not only to be cleared by the doctors of whichever team will pick him up, if any team picks him up. But he has to build up that strength in that throwing arm. I mean, it's one thing to be able to throw 30 yards, but, you know, after three surgeries like that, we'll see. I mean, he still has a long way to go in this off season.
Hey, C-Wings, can you tell who is the most – I know March coming up, it's going to be a lot of free agents. Who's the top free agent right now?
I think, well, we look
I can name one. Mario Williams, he's a free agent from Texans. He's going to be everybody's going to be definitely looking at him.
Well, like we talked yesterday, I would say Hines Ward. I mean, I would like to see him on the Jets.
Well, he's going to retire. I'm sorry to say he's going to retire. I'm sorry. That's a steal. I'm sorry. Sorry.
No,
can't have no steals on the Jets. You already got one already. There's a head case.
I mean, it's going to be very interesting in the off season. I mean, you have OC Umanyiora.
Yeah,
he's up for a contract.
That
you have,
Green Bay, that guy Flynn from Green Bay, the quarterback.
He's looking to make more money. I mean, he made $450,000 last year.
Right.
He's due to make $495,000 this year. So we have to look into the salary cap.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have this whole team come back from the Giants. I can tell you that right now. They're not bringing everyone back.
Well, the Giants are about 15 guys who are free agents.
Yeah. You're going to see, I think you'll see a majority of the team come back, but like Bradshaw and those guys that are up for contracts, you're not going to see all of them come back.
Don't forget the Patriots. They got free agents too.
Let me pose a question to the panel. I mean, because we are talking football. What do you think is more crucial for the Jets as a team to spend more money on, the offensive line or another quarterback?
They ain't got no salary cap room. They ain't got no room.
They're building a new
offensive line.
45.
They definitely need
line.
A line of
defense.
They have to have a right
corner.
Tackle. They need a new coach.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. Last night, Jesse Williams, the high jumper, who won his event, he's from USC. I said, "Wow!" I said, "No, you're a USC guy." He said, "Yes, yeah." Santa's from USC. He said, "I know." He says, "I don't like him." You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I said, "You know what?" I said, "You sound like a lot of people around here in New York City that don't like Sanchez right now too." Fox Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show. Let's go back real quickly to Bernard Lagat, the interview, and listen to the rest of his interview, his coach, and our winning female champion last night, and then we can continue as we begin to close out on Sports in Depth. And the man, the champion, one more time. He didn't get any sleep. They had this race strapped, mapped out from lap to lap. Now let's talk to our female champion and really a great race. You know, we had Sonya Richards Ross. We had Natasha Hastings, and my other mistake, the other Olympic champion was Mary Weinberg. She's from New York. And Natasha is from Brooklyn. So let's listen to the lady who set a record her second time. She hadn't ran in the Mill Road Games except 10 years ago as a high school athlete. And she was successful last night as a pro, the gold medal winner and the wife of a Super Bowl champion, Sonya Richards Ross.
Back.
see the 5,000 people cheering me on at practice was very special today.
Have you ever been at Melrose before?
I've never competed at the Melrose Games. I've competed in the Army. It was funny, someone mentioned it was 10 years ago that I ran here. I'm like, oh, 10 years? Never thought I'd be here now. Oh, how would they do that?
Simply wishes to her husband. We found out that he lost his grandmother last week, so he wasn't there to see her run. So all of us here at Sports in Depth, of course, simply wishes to the Houston family and also to the Ross family and all of the families out there who experienced a loss, and you know, it's one of those things. Harold, did you ever meet her husband Bobby? Once she got older, y'all kind of didn't like stay in touch a lot.
Yeah, we didn't stay in touch. She got older and everything, and she, you know who she was and all that. But you gotta understand, she Whitney when she started making those moves. I mean, she was doing her thing, I was doing my thing. So, you know, we never connected and all that. But, no, I never met Bobby Brown.
Bobby.
I mean, I don't see no reason why I would meet Bobby Brown, you know, because Bobby Brown is Bobby Brown. You know what I'm saying? So,
I just think in the course, and maybe, you know, they happen to come to a fight and you out in Vegas, you know, running the show and you happen to run into each other, you know. But, I mean, both of you all the worldwide travel and stuff like that, just somehow happenstance. May have had y'all meeting each other. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. Once again, you just can't, I don't think you get any better than this. We have the legendary Don Thomas open the show, and then we found out that our own legend, as all of you here is a legend, Harold Weston is Whitney's cousin. Malcolm Sell, what's the feeling? What's the feeling now? And you said this 2 years ago, and after listening to Harold, and listening to Destino and Lady A, we are most likely never going to see Pacquiao Mayweather.
And it's a shame, Doc, because, you know, it really is a shame for this reason. It really would have energized boxing if the fans could have gotten it when they wanted it. Both of the guys are getting to be a little bit longer in the tooth now. You know, boxers have a very, very short shelf life, as I'm sure Harold and Dusty will tell you. You know, dude, that window is closing on this fight.
Yeah.
And, Doc, it's a shame because this really could have been the energy that boxing needed. Everybody wanted to see this fight. And not just fight fans, Doc. This is the type of fight that could have kind of crossed over to not just us hardcore fans and purists of boxing, but to, like, the casual person who would have said, I've heard so much about Mayweather. I've heard so much about Pacquiao. And, you know, it would have transcended boxing. This is the type that if the fans would have gotten it when they wanted to, and these guys would have put on a really great show, they could have really gave a much-needed shot in the arm to boxing.
Let me explain the reason why these things and these guys that's in boxing today is destroying the sport, okay? When back in the day when a manager managed a fighter and the guy who was world champion, you had your organization in place, these managers and the fighters were looking for fights. You had Madison Square Garden, who made the fight, okay? So the Garden didn't have no investment in whoever won, okay? But these guys today, the Arams, the Kings, all these other promoters have investments in these fighters. So they can't afford these fighters to lose because that's going to stop their payday for whatever for that year. All right? So naturally, they don't want to take the risk of doing that. See, the Garden could take a risk because they didn't care who won. Whoever won was going to come back and fight a better fighter. Anyway.
Hey, Harold, I'm going to tell you.
Okay?
Harold, nobody,
what the problem
nobody
is today.
Betrayed
Everybody's
that
looking
better
at
than
pockets.
You did. Harold, nobody betrayed that better than you did as a matchmaker at Madison Square. I remember you said, hey, Mel, man, my job is to put in the best possible fight. Hey, I like the kid, but he lost. Nobody betrayed that, Harold. You kept that tradition. Hey, my only interest is to bring the best possible product to the fight fan.
And I still do that, even now when I'm in Florida, where I put the best fights on. Okay? My thing is that if you can't fight, you shouldn't be in the business. Go get a job. My thing is that we're entertainment. We're
in
the entertainment
business.
You're
so OG, man. Dang.
Well, you know, and
you know what's great about Harold, Doc?
This is what was great about Harold. You know, he's the type of dude that people, working class people, he would give them their money's worth. You would not see guys who are 2-13 fighting guys 15-0 under Harold. We wouldn't allow it.
Hey, maybe y'all didn't hear me when I said this, but I'll never forget, again, Doc Stanley, SportsNet on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show, the channel SportsNet for the show. We're talking Melrose games. We're talking fighting. We're talking boxing. We're remembering Whitney Houston and Don Kamaze. Thanking the legendary Don Thomas for joining us. As always, my incomparable crew, legendary Howard Weston, Justino Baby Lewis, another legend, Mel Cassell, legend number 3, The Hoopsa, legend number 4, the First Lady, Lady A, another legend, and she went, Howard Weston, walk to his office. Never forget this as long as I live. Never forget this long, among the many things, Howard. I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? We both knew Hector Camacho was so good that Dallas, they were ABC, NBC, Al said, okay, we take the fight. I don't care who he's fighting. It don't matter who he's fighting. He's going to win. And one point, he's going to fight. You know,
let me just say this, Mel. See,
come on.
Nobody can come to me and said, well, Hal, when you was brought up and everything, they gave you easy fight. Oh, no. Everybody knows I fought killers.
Hey, Hal said they flew him to Italy. They had a press conference. And Hal said, he walked in the ring, he said, the referee looks familiar. The house that he came, he threw a couple of jabs. Right, said, "No, you can't. You can't be throwing no jabs and hooks." Then the guy said, "No, you can't be defending the house." Wait a minute, that ain't the referee. That's the commissioner.
You know, my point. You know, the thing is that I look. This sport has saved my life, and if it wasn't for this sport, I wouldn't be Harold Weston today. Okay. And I cherish this sport, and I think that we as fighters are, you know, you get pride of being a fighter.
Exactly.
Because you know that you can help yourself and protect yourself in this society. And you get a lot of discipline in yourself in this sport. My point is that when you look at people that's really marketing this sport and coming out saying they're fighters and they're a joke, all right, and walking around with these so-called fake championships, I feel bad for these fighters for one reason. I know that one day if they get in there with a fight, they're gonna get their heads taken to them, and then they're gonna realize they wasn't as good as they thought they were, and that's the sad part about it.
Let me piggyback on Harold. That's the same thing that happened. I don't know if you guys watched or saw the fight 2 or 3 weeks ago. Everybody knows who Martinez Rigondeaux, the Cuban bantamweight, who's supposed to be 9-0, 7 knockouts. But I do know that you guys remember an undefeated kid called Rico Ramos. He was on the underneath card of Donaire, Nonito Donaire,
in Boardwalk Hall with the Japanese guy, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
yeah,
that fight.
Okay, this guy, Rico Ramos, after getting slapped around for 7 rounds, finally got through, knocked out the Japanese with a left hook. Guess what? He fought with all his 21-0 and 18 knockouts. He fought a 9-0 expatriate, ex-patriot from Cuba, Rigondo, who to me can't fight a lick, and he gets knocked out.
Tomato can.
Yeah, and he got knocked out flat on his ass.
Did you tell me about Sugar Shane Mosley on the card of the
underneath, yeah. So okay. What I'm saying, to piggyback on what Harold said, is the fact that these guys, I mean, don't know what the hell they're doing. They're not fighting. They just, I make joke out of it, but they just anointed a new champion, a super bantamweight, NFBA, Latino, world champ. The guy gets a big, beautiful,
embroidered belt. Dusty, you're bringing that up, Dusty. How about you bringing that up? But wait, what you're saying holds so much water. You know why? Because look, when you look at a fight like this on an undercard, tell me it's not disgusting. You remember Timothy Bradley fighting Joel Casamayor?
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
What? On an undercard, on the major undercard.
Was looking for a payday. This is what it is. He's looking
disgusting.
Yeah. But you see, again, what happens today is that we grassroots guys, and I have to go back to my time. I had a job, a full-time job.
Don't go that
and
far
after
back.
I finished the job, I went to the gym. Okay? I had a full-time job, my 8 hours with a night or two. I had to alternate my gym workout between my work. A lot of these guys today, this is why the promoters protect them, don't have a legitimate job. The promoter pays them a salary, maybe pays part of their rent, and has them training every freaking day. So if you're going to put them to fight.
You bring up a point that Jesse Barfield, I asked Jesse, you know, about today's pitchers. And he said, Mel, you got to understand, the pitchers today are an investment. And you're saying, we got to stop disagreeing, Dusty. But you're saying
it's an investment.
It's an investment. Doc Stanley, Sports Death on the Blink. We're probably going to be closing, but I know we're going to do the mic on. We've got a show coming at 7:30, but we can kill some time between.
Hold on, gang. I
want to get T Wings.
Huh? Let me finish this. I remember a guy, Doc, named Norberto Sabater. He used to fight Alex Ramos every time at the fight. I met Norberto. I knew him for a long time. I said, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm in Gleason, this, that, and the other. You know, do you just come from work? I said, no. I go straight to the gym. My manager doesn't let me work. He pays me a salary, and I work full-time in Gleason. I said, oh, crap. Why didn't they do that to me? You see the changes. So these guys are protected by their managers. They're paid a salary not to work, so they can be spoon-fed titles and junior titles and money-making fights. I mean, I have nothing against making money, but that's the way the system is.
That was rare, though. I mean, I remember that same thing with Ali. And coming out of the Olympics and Ray Leonard. So what you? But Hal, in your case too, you once you got with Gil, that's all you did too, right, Hal?
Well, I mean, my father was there. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't get no salary, but I got I got fed 3 meals a day.
You get no salary.
This is an OG, yo. Oh, my God.
I got fed 3 meals a day, and I had a roof over my head, but that was all I needed, they told me. So that was it.
Right.
Let's talk about the new basketball sensation at the Garden. And they're winning games without Stoudemire and Melo. The consensus should be that when they come back with Lynn, they should be a heck of a basketball team.
Yeah, it depends if they can gel together. That's the whole thing.
Right.
They got to gel. I mean, because if one's going to hold up the ball most of the time and start shooting like Carmelo's going to do, then when Lynn don't have a shot, then you got a problem.
Right.
Well, how do you see it?
Hey, he's right. Hal's right. They got to gel as a team. They got to know how to play together as a team.
Okay,
right.
Now has this, if they can gel, will they be a much better team?
Oh, much
and,
better.
And,
oh, yeah. They got their point guard they've been looking for the longest.
Okay.
So they can't put on Baron Davis.
Okay,
they don't know
okay,
where he's going to play again.
Okay,
so.
I talked to Jamie Harris last night, and Jamie said, Kobe said the other day, you know, A guy like this just doesn't come out of nowhere. So how come this outstanding coach didn't see this before?
Because the job was on the line. He had no choice.
But Doc, he admitted
that's
he
why.
Made a mistake.
Hoopsa, Hoopsa is the basketball Howard Weston, and Howard Weston is the boxing Hoopsa. Hoopsa.
Yeah.
Now, Hoopsa.
Yeah.
If so, right now he has saved his job. In other words,
yes, he did.
Not come, okay. Okay. Now.
Damn,
okay.
Doc,
If he didn't put that boy in the game, he would have been out of there.
But I think he had no choice because everybody was hurt on this
yeah,
team, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
No,
that's correct. Yeah.
Put him out there.
Hey, you know what? You guys sound like the late comic Roberts, man. He said, I can't think of his last name, and he used to say, man, he said, you know, you go to the Laker game, you sit all the way up top, you can hardly see the players. He said, you go to the Clipper game, man, you sit down near the bench, coach puts you in the game. Hey, Hal, you guys want to play? He puts you right in the game. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network, the show. I see it again, so we're going to wind up with some lights off time, no question about that, as I know the gang have some more things to say. Last night, big winners at the first ever. I mean, I don't think people can comprehend, and the thing about it, this was the first time it was done outside of Madison Square Garden, first time up in Washington Heights, and at the Armory, which has the most races in the course of a season run there. I was really surprised. Listen to Merritt said that he hadn't ran there in since 06. Ross hadn't ran there since high school.
Wow.
I'm used to seeing Natasha Hastings. She's an autograph too. She ran there last year. And Bernard this year didn't run the typical race that he always runs. I should have caught up with him too. I'm thinking about some stuff now. But it's confirmed Mayweather will be fighting Cinco de Mayo. He's going to be fighting Miguel Cotto. Manny Pacquiao.
No, we yeah. going to that, Doc?
What? Huh?
We going to that?
Yes, lady. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
we'll put in the go there. You know, if it ain't en route to Brazil, I'm not too crazy about it. But I'll send you other guys out there. It should be a good fight. You know, it's amazing. And I remember telling
Grand Arena.
I remember at one time, you know, there was hope. That Garden would kind of get things back, and then we had the East Coast set up with Trump and Donald King were doing stuff down in Atlantic City, but now everything is all the major fights. Yeah, you know, Harold.
You got to start bringing stuff back to the Garden again, Harold.
Well, I think
Hey, turn back to Jersey,
going
to Brooklyn.
The Garden is out of boxing completely.
How about Brooklyn,
okay?
The new stadium?
Because you don't have boxing people in the Garden.
That's true. Remember, Doc, you were saying that the other day. You said you were going to tell Harold about that, remember?
And when you don't have boxing people in the Garden, they're not going to be thrilled about it. They don't understand the sport. As you see, that the people running the sport already don't understand the sport.
Right.
So basically, you're not going to have that in the Garden. I mean, you know, they're going to do what they're doing and be satisfied with it. I think that the only time the Garden is going to be open is if you come in there and promote as a promoter. But it's not going to be on a regular basis. I think that what's going to happen, you know, you're going to have your fights in the casinos like you're having, like Atlantic City and places like that. And then, you know, you got Brooklyn getting ready to, you know, they're getting ready to try to do something with Golden Boy. But that's going to be a sham, too, because people are going to run away from that because Golden Boy is going to do their same little program they've been doing, and they're going to put the guy, their fighters to win the fight, and people are not going to go there. Because, you know, people from New York, when they see a sham show and seeing that the you know all the winners are going to win, then people in New York is not going to go all the way to Brooklyn to watch a fight like that.
But interestingly enough, Harold, one of the things that kind of stays on my mind is on the last 2 years, the amateurs with the Golden Gloves, it seems like they've been signing up more fighters lately the last 2 years.
They've not been signing up more fights. What they've been doing, you know, you got the girls now involved. Mm-hmm. They're involved in Golden Gloves. So it's not as many
fights. Hold on, gang. Hold on. We're going to close out here and come back with the mic on light. So Doc Stanley, Sports Network for the Blake, with Rainbow Soul, Sports Network for the show. And it's been a big one. Melrose Games, remembering Whitney and Don. Cornelius, Don Thomas with us, always my impeccable legendary crew. Barry Hardy is going to close it, and then we're going to give you a little time here with the mic on, lights up, before we bring on our 7:30 show. Box Daily Sports, Net Free Thoughts. Live it out today. Vice Smoke, the system of urgent question is, what are you doing for the service to others? And make you pay for your space on earth. Doc, I stay trust in God. Larry Hardy, what do you say?
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
There they go, and here they come. Larry Hardesty, could you kind of bring us on, please?
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, a good 15 minutes or so, as we have another show coming up at 7:30, so we have to have a half an hour leeway. Sports in Depth, mic on, mic off. Prayer is always on. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise your holy name. Thank you for little things which the Lord should take for granted. Thank you, Lord, and give us all our time what we want, what we need, and we need thee every hour. We ask you to bless Houston family. Bless the Ross family. Bless all those who have lost a loved one. But let them know that death for those in Christ is not a period, but a comma. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And we thank you for all things, knowing that you are God all by yourself, the one only true God. Amen. Amen. Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Depth for the show. We've got about another good 15-minute mic on, lights off. We're going to talk some more. I want to start real quickly with a little football with Hoopster. Hoopster with the Sea Wings.
I can talk football, too. I love football.
Yeah. You have been resurrected, Sea Wings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sea Wings, yeah, but you can't talk jet football. No, Sea Wings, what do we see? What do we see in the future with the Jets? I mean, you know, Jason Tuck says something. Justin Tuck said something. He said, you know, he respects Rex Ryan. He said, you know what, the guy got his team to the championship game 2 years in a row. So we're talking about New York City. You know, we had the championship game played by our team 3 years in a row. And we've been to the Super Bowl twice in the last 4 years, and we won the Super Bowl in the last. So we've been to the championship game 4 years in a row, and we've done 50%. What can the Jets do? What has to be done? And you talked about this with your genius and intellect of the things that happened. First of all, is there a rift between Holmes and Sanchez? And I can't believe Sanchez can have a rift with anybody, because he needs to throw that ball as soon as he can before they crush him, and anybody open he should be able to hit. Is there a rift between Sanchez and Holmes? Is Holmes coming back?
Holmes is coming back. I mean, he had that guaranteed contract, that money.
Exactly.
So he will be here for the next 2 years at least. But I think it's just Holmes. I mean, in the locker room, the guy just seems so fired up when you talk to him. And I don't know. I mean, you have to produce, and he's done very well to help the Jets at that time become the number one red zone defense.
Yeah,
you know, he contributed big time to that. But in order for the Jets to be relevant, they're going to need to rebuild that offensive line. I mean, they're going to need a couple of extra pieces in there. I don't say get rid of Sanchez. Of course not. I mean, the guy's put up some good numbers couple of years.
You
can see when he was had the tools around him. He played very well. I mean, the two AFC championships back-to-back like that is a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. But Rex Ryan said he's going to eliminate the captain's positions. I think he's going to tighten up on the locker room.
Hold on. Back up. Why? I mean, what's the whole deal with the captain? I mean, you know, he got to the championship game 2 years in a row with the captain positions. This year he didn't have the captain positions. So you're talking about you're 2-1. I mean, why? Why is he eliminating the captain position? Isn't that something traditional? And isn't that kind of like a slap in the face to the guys? I mean, why? My thing, what is the mindset and what is so advantageous about doing this?
I mean, when he was interviewed, there was an interview I listened to when they asked him that question about, you know, with Santonio Holmes being labeled a captain. I think he kind of took his eye off the ball, so to say. You know, he is a good coach, don't get me wrong, but I think he kind of had like a hands-off, let me, you know, be the popular coach, which is good. You need the respect of your men to have them play for you. But I think you're going to see him take a more interactive role in the offense play calling as well.
Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with offensive catching? I mean, what does that have to do with if he's going to take more of an interjection into the offensive scheme of things, what does that have to do with the deletion of the offensive or the captain?
The coach.
And we've long said with Mel Cosell leading the chorus that Schottenheimer just wasn't doing the job. But then again, he did get to the championship game 2 years in a row. But you know, as a coach, what's he going to do? Is he not going to have an offensive coach? Or now he's going to be more direct and tell the offensive coach what to do, you know, on the offense?
I mean, I think he's, especially like when we covered the AFC championship game when they played Pittsburgh, I mean, they ran that ball up the middle four times.
Right.
I think you're going to see him. I don't think he's going to micromanage the offense play calling, but I think in critical situations he might just take that role.
Okay, he's
going to
say, you know what? This is the play we're going to run. This is the play
absolutely.
Want. If it doesn't work, that's it. But this is the play. Okay, now we've got that answer.
Wait a minute, Doc. Let me make this one point quickly. I've heard Rex Ryan interviewed about that very subject, and what I got out of what he was saying was he didn't think all of the players were on the same page this year. He doesn't, as far as the captaincy thing, doesn't want anybody to think they have any more authority than anybody else. He wants them to all be on the same page, all with the equal, you know, like equal amounts of authority. He doesn't want anybody saying, hey, I'm the captain, this, that, and the other. He didn't feel they were on the same page. He wants them all to be basically on equal footing. And like Steve said, he said he's going to take a more active role, you know, in the daily goings-on, you know, the team itself.
Right.
And you, look at when he when you have problems in the locker room, and I mean, me and Lady A picked that up somewhere around the fourth or fifth week of the season.
Right.
I mean, you could just feel it. I mean, there were certain problems. I don't think it was as big at that time to start going to the media, which is wrong. You don't zap another player on your team. What happens in the locker room stays in that locker room, and you quell those problems in the locker room. When you go out on that field, that's where you play your heart out. And they mixed it up. They let one side, the emotions of the locker room, with their opinions that they had against another player, carried on into the field. And you kind of saw it. They kind of, the last couple of weeks, it's like they gave up some of the players.
Yeah,
but you know, you got to attribute a lot of that also to no veteran leadership on that team. You got to look at it that way, too. They had no veteran leadership, but got to step up and be like, listen, let's cut the nonsense, all right? Let's get back to business and do what we got to do. You didn't have that in there. You didn't have any veteran leadership. Who you had? Boss Scott? Remember you and I were saying he might not even come back this year, right? So
I
you didn't have
him coming back.
You don't have anybody on that team. All those other guys are gone. Yeah.
You don't have like a Ray Lewis type player.
No.
You don't have a Michael Strahan type player.
Yeah, but hold on. But isn't a lot of that overplayed? I mean, I don't need anybody to tell me to put my best effort forth. I don't need anybody to tell me to play to my highest capability. I don't need anybody to tell me to go out there with pride and take. If I need somebody to tell me that, I don't need to play. I mean,
yeah, but Doc, you
got to
realize when you have rookies. A lot of these guys sometimes, they don't understand. You're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. So you should have a veteran there that allow you to point out, oh, this is part of what's going to happen. It's going to happen.
But, But it
but
depends,
to point you in the
depends,
right direction and be like, this
depends,
is part
who,
of what happens.
I mean, it's right now, looking at Sanchez, is Sanchez the kind of veteran that somebody else could really say, wow, I should listen to this guy?
No.
I wouldn't even
call him a veteran.
No.
I mean,
no,
he's just a guy
I'm talking about as a rookie, okay, if I come to the team next year, Sanchez is in his third year. I'm a rookie. This guy's a 3-year veteran in the league. I mean,
no,
he's the kind of guy. I mean, you know, to a certain degree, LT.
John, let me put it to you like
addition.
This. You got a guy, you got 15 years on, right? Mm-hmm. You said it yourself. It's my post, right? You got a guy with 3 years on coming to your post to tell you with 19 years on the job. What are you going to say to the guy? Come on, how could you equate that to something like
that? I mean, to someone, there's something to that is different. I mean,
it's not, Doc.
It's not. They need guidance, Doc.
You need guidance,
you know,
no matter what.
Okay.
How about it?
The problem that I feel that we have with today's society, with our athletes and our young generation here behind us, is that they have no real loyalty or really ambition in themselves unless somebody really pushed them.
There you go.
You know, that drive that we had back coming up when we was coming up is not here with this generation.
Nope.
You got to understand. They're used to playing with the computers. They're used to doing everything more easier. We had to work hard and use our fingers and all that.
Yeah.
It's a big different situation. So you got to have somebody that's going to drive them today.
Yep.
If you don't have nobody drive a person and bring the best out of them, they will be so laid back that they'll be walking down the field
instead
of trying to run down.
That's right. And you got to look at these big contracts. Sometimes you get some guys
who, I mean, then doing no one thing. On the other hand, Doc Stanley, Sports Def on the Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow, So Chill, Sports Def the show. We've got a good few minutes left. There's Mike on live. So, but, you know, in that case, they've got to be blessed to have guys that are, like, when Willie Mays came up, there was Monty Irvin. They got to be blessed to have a Harold Weston, a Mel Cosell, a Lady A, a Hoopster, a Dusty, okay, a C-Wings that are going to say, hey, come here, man. Look, no. Hey, man, this is what you do. Go over there, get that. This you do, you don't do. They got to have somebody that's willing to do that if they're willing to. Howard, you made a great point. A lot of them don't want to listen and can't learn.
Well,
but then
look what Mark Sanchez said to Joe Namath. He said he should keep his big mouth shut because he's making a statement. How do you say that to a man that won the Super Bowl on the team that you're on and you still have all the protection in the world and
you
can't win?
You haven't produced anything.
How about this? He's still looking through the window. He's still looking through the window to get inside. He's already been inside.
But these guys played, hold on, C-Wings.
Like Harold said, I mean, you have Joe Namath. He won the only Super Bowl for the Jets, and he won at a time when the league was an iron. It was a gridiron league. Not like now. Look at the equipment that they have back then. I mean, these guys have all the padding. They have all the rules.
Absolutely.
Basically, back then, it was go out and play and take the quarterback's head off.
Right.
That's why you had these guys like Lau Azedo, that they claim was one of the dirtiest players. Ironhead Haynes, all of these guys.
Ray Lucas said it best, plain and simple, just said it like this, Mel. Okay, he said it like this. He said, listen, they got to stop coddling these kids. Nowadays, everybody's getting coddled. This is football. Football is football.
That's true. Let me make this point, okay? Hold on, Mel. And this is the bottom line for all of this, all right? And this is basically backing up on Al's point. Joe Namath has forgotten more football than Mark Sanchez has yet to learn, okay? So anytime you have a veteran can give you the valuable experience, because he's been there and done that. And if
you're too dumb or narrow-minded,
to let him pull your coat and kind of teach him what he's been in the same situation that you're going in, then that's up on you. That's the problem with young people today. They think they know it all. And I think that the folks who were before them aren't as smart or whatever. But I got news for them because I would tell them that, hey, they were here before you and they're still here. So that should tell you something.
Exactly.
Well, you know that old adage, when we were coming up, a grown-up spoke to you, you listened. Yeah, even if you didn't agree, you just kept quiet. I mean, what's that saying? Nobody knows how dumb you are until you open your mouth. I mean, if a grown-up said something to you, you listened. You know, you understood that. I remember the great line that the late, great Buck O'Neill said. And you know how you just said something, and Dusty was going to dovetail it. All of us have. And it's a sad commentary today's society, and that's why we're so blessed to come up when we did. You know, Buck O'Neill said, you know what? He said, in high school, the sophomore took care of the freshman, the junior took care of the sophomore, and the senior took care of the junior. And you're telling me that no longer is in existence.
Well, that's the reason, Doc, that I'm trying to say here, that's the reason why in sports, because I know I did it, I know everybody does it, in sports there is the senior man, not the probie or the rookie, who is the captain of the team. Remember, there's such a thing as a players-only meeting. The managers and the coaching staff are outside the door to air out and iron out and re-energize themselves and become in sync as to what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, you have Fat Albert and his company from the Jets that did nothing.
Fat Albert?
That's what they did.
Wow.
They created dissension.
Wow.
And sniping at each other. If they have been, and then that comes from the leadership. The leadership says, "Hey, this is how we're going to do together." And then these are the captains, and if there's a discrepancy, there's a players meeting only with the captains, and these are the guys. I like to believe that this is what prevails or has prevailed in the giant organization, despite the fact that all these grumblers and non-performers like the Tiki Barbers and Sharkies wanted to get Tom Coughlin thrown out. The man was a tight taskmaster. He appointed captains who will follow his dictum or dictatorship and keep the team together. Everybody gelled. Everybody did everything they had to do. And if you don't have that on a team, he could be the scrubs of any agency, of any league, because you're going to have this guy going, he's a signal, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Like I said, later, for shit, I'm going to do what I want to do. And if that happens, well, then you don't have a team. That's why you have captains. But captains reflect the management. The management is the boss who keeps a straight, strict, tough love or iron hand on the team to keep it together, because you're not going to be here. I'm not going to play football for 16 weeks, 18 weeks and freeze my butt off and then, well, okay, we lost. Let's go home. No, I'm going for that freaking ring.
Well, let me get my check and go home.
Yeah, hold on.
But you know what's a good example?
Go ahead.
Kobe and Shaq. When Shaq's been in the league, he tried to speak to Kobe, and Kobe was young.
Exactly.
He didn't want to listen.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of
got
him in that legal trouble that he was in. I mean,
right.
Shaq, he had a lot more time in the league than Kobe. He was an older guy, and Kobe didn't want to listen to him.
He
was like, I'm a superstar, and I'm going
to
do what I
want to
do.
Now he wants everybody to stop listening to him because he's a leader now. Stop.
Exactly.
Come on.
Hey, don't nobody move. Hold on. Don't move.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network for the show. Mic on, lights off, the gang is all here, and, you know, you just don't get a better, whether we're on 2 hours, 2 minutes, or all day insight on not only the games that we broadcast and talk about, but the game of life. Just as, you know, Lady A just a tremendous point, you know, a guy that didn't want to be listened to. They wouldn't listen. Now wants to be listened to. The reluctance of the youth.
Having a fit.
To listen to experience. You know, it's just crazy. And we got to go.
It's an old saying, but it's an old saying, Doc. Pardon me for cutting you off, but it's true. It's old, but it's true. What goes around, comes around. Comes around. Now Kobe is the. Is the citizen, so to speak.
The puck is
there
now.
He's trying to show the rookies.
and he wants him to follow his leadership.
Yep.
Well, you know, hey,
he's
the great line, you
and
you,
now
you,
he
you,
wants
you.
To be followed.
Well, you know, you got to read what you saw. DocStanleySports.com, got a little plug here. That's my site. As you know, I will be departing shortly. In the
oh, Doc,
too.
I meant to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I meant to ask you a question, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you went to these Milrose games, did you get any you know, running shoes for your new collection over there in the museum?
Oh, no, I what I did, I got some autographs, you know, because I was looking at it. But what I did, I got the autograph programs because when they gave us the tape of the finish line, you know, it was it's funny. We were talking because I had originally. When they were trying to start, and once again, DocStanleySports.com is the site, check it. They were trying to start a pro track way back in the mid-70s. And at a meet at the Garden, I had a chance to meet the legendary Jesse Owens. You know, I got a chance to meet Jesse Owens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I was really, you know, there was one time at a black tie a dinner affair with Larry Hardesty and myself, and Joe Frazier was there, and I saw Joe, and we went over, hey, Spike, he's laughing and talking and everything, and then he's talking to Bob Hayes. I say, oh, Bob, how you doing, Bob? I said, Bob, I know you're a boxing fan, and then Bob and Joe looked at each other, and they looked at me like, this guy crazy? Bob said, hey, man, we were Olympic roommates. Bob Hayes.
Wow.
Bob Hayes and Joe Frazier were.
Hey, Doc, someone said,
Bob
hey, Doc,
Hayes
is it
the
true?
Fastest man in the world?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How many times
fast,
Doc was the fastest man in the world?
Yeah,
Jesse Owens.
Yeah. No,
I ran
the
horse.
Also, Bob Hayes
hey, Doc,
was the fastest man in the world.
Doc, somebody said you got so many old school sneakers that you got the original green and white Stan Smith sneakers up there by Adidas. Is that true?
Didn't have to go.
Somebody said you
cut
got the original
off, suede. Cut the mic off.
Somebody said you got the original suede baby blue and white Adidas.
Wow.
There too, Doc. I don't know, man. Is that true?
Wow. Woo.
You know what?
Yeah, cut
okay.
the mic off now.
You know what?
Cut your mic off now.
He's making me
yes,
laugh.
The original
John Isaac.
Cares is that it just kids.
Cut his mic off too. Cut.
There was no pro in front of the cat. He was just cat.
No, I got you both beat. Rumor has it that back in the day, Doc was rocking the original Gons.
Oh,
wow.
No.
Your mic going to be cut off too.
I'm still waiting to see the picture with the
management
with the fist, guys. Guys, I'm still waiting to see the picture with the fist. The pick with the fist.
You know what I have to say that Harold made such a good point, and everyone on the panel about the state of boxing, the character and the you know of the fighters nowadays. Think about it, Harold. His fighters and his schedule was equal to that, I guess, the same as the Giants' opponents this season. I mean, tough, rough and tumble. I mean, he's the real deal.
But you know what makes it even better about boxing at his time,
Cedric?
Right. You know what makes it even better about boxing at his time was that these guys, him and Dusty, they didn't even know their fighters, bro. They went into the ring, and they didn't even know who their fighters were. Could you imagine stepping into a – you got to survive.
Hey, gang, hold on. Gang, can I say something here? Doc Stanley Sports. Hold. DocStanleySports.com. Please. I mean, is it all right? Can I get – DocStanleySports.com.
DocStanleySports.com. The museum.com.
There's a dinosaur.com.
Also, hey, gang, another thing, too. I want everybody to know. Hold tight. Hold on. Here's another thing. www.blakeradio.com. Hit that site, you know, for those who want to make a donation to Blake Radio, www.blakeradio.com. You'll see the page, and then you can sit down and put usually on the panel. I'll hit you again with that. For other people around the country who want to make a little donation, help us here at Blake Radio, www.blakeradio.com. And you hit the page, you go down, and you see where you can make a donation here. You kind of don't understand what is assembled here when you listen to these voices. I mean, you know, every week it's a shot. Who would have thought we'd get Whitney Houston's cousin on our panel? Who would have had a chance to talk to Don Thomas, who talked about so much about the grassroots setup? And I remember how I first came to Big Red News, Anita McCray. Ironically enough, it's funny now. She showed me this paper, and I saw no sports in the paper. And she said, I said, wow. I said, you know, would they be interested in sports? And she said, I'll ask them. She said, incidentally, could I do a little interview on you know, little sports stuff you had, which is nothing compared to now. And that's how I wind up writing with the legendary Big Red News. And it was really something to find out today that the New York Beacon was the name. I had always wondered why they had changed the New York Beacon. And I remember it was down on Empire Boulevard, about 10 minutes away or less from where the old legendary Ebbets Field used to be. And it was heavy panty manning community. I did a story on Duran. These guys took the story. They read it from front to back.
You heard that, Mel?
They told me they were going to take it into the panty manning community, okay, and make sure that it was all right. And evidently, it was. I'm still alive. It was all right. But it was, you know, Big Red, I think, as Harold also knows, too, the one thing that made it so popular also had a little number sheet in the back of it. You know what I mean? You could get your
digits. Yeah, the numbers, yeah.
Yeah, that was really, that helped originally. It was a two-fold thing. It helped circulation, and it helped with the notoriety of us who were writing the paper. But Don Thomas.
I remember you took me to the office, Doc.
Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith, yeah.
He's the first ever photographer. The director of photography there, Carl Nesfield, who was Malcolm X's personal photographer. He was Malcolm X.
Yeah.
He told me a great story.
Yeah.
He told me he was supposed to be with Malcolm that day, but what happened? He had hung out the night before, and somebody called him, and he said, "Hello, yes." Yeah. He said, "Hey, man, they just shot your boy." I said, "What do you mean?" And he got up and said they were bringing Malcolm's body outside of the Audubon Ballroom. And you know, he said, you know, he had a little bonnet. He said he used to wear a little thing, called himself an artist. I said, he wasn't a photographer. He said he was an artist. And he told the story of he was very close with Malcolm, as he was his friend with him. And when anytime Castro would come to New York, a Black History thing for you people, he stayed at the legendary Hotel Teresa. That was the Grand Hyatt. That was the Waldorf Astoria. American. Every black artist or Latin of renown would stay there. In fact, Ron Brown used to be Secretary of State. His dad was the man in charge there, and he, as a kid, met Satchel, Lena Horne, Louis Armstrong, Bill, all of them. And Carl said he was passing Hotel Teresa, and Castro had some of his men lined up in uniform, and Castro was talking to Malcolm. And Malcolm said, "Hey, Carl. Carl said, all right, come over here. Hey, Carl, you know, he met Fidel, and he took a picture." And he said he had the only picture of Fidel Castro and Malcolm X. And he said none of the white publications would buy that picture from him. They you know, they wouldn't buy that picture from him. At the legendary Hotel Teresa, now it's made into apartments, but it was the most renowned African-American hotel in the world. And without question, in New York City, and that's where any African American of merit would stay because of the legend said. But the Audubon Ballroom, all the white acts downtown, when they got through, Marilyn Monroe, Frank Sinatra, who did so much for African American entertainment, all the great actors, Fred Astaire, everybody that was in town, they had to get uptown to two places: the Audubon Ballroom and to the Cotton Club.
Hey Doc, can I ask Harold a question real quick? Hey, Harold, did you ever get a chance to at least spar with Duran or fight him at all, or no?
No, we tried to make a match a couple of times, but Don stopped it, and Don would come with these crazy figures, talking about fight Duran for $10,000, and I.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a joke to me. He never wanted to fight and everything.
I'm scared,
but Don knew that it was a risk fighting me and everything. So he didn't want to lose that popularity with Duran had and everything.
Did he really hit his
power? How much did they offer you for the Ray Leonard fight?
Oh, $25,000.
How much is Ray gonna make?
Ray was making like $1 million.
What?
And they offer you $25,000. Now, how was that $25,000 with expense money included?
No, I asked him. I thought the $25,000 was expense money. That's what I thought.
Oh, that's crazy!
Wow.
I thought it was expense money what they were offering me because I knew what the networks was paying Ray and everything was always it was told you know in the newspaper and everything. So basically, I just knew that I was going to get you know more money. I was rated like number two in the world, number one in some organizations. So I didn't I couldn't see the thing. And he wanted to come to New York and fight. And I, you know, we had no problem doing it. We knew it was going to sell out and everything. But the fact is, that was just a ridiculous offer. But that's what Ray Lennon people offered me. And I said, you know, you must don't want the fight then, you know. So that fight was never made. But I was told, you know, they didn't want to make the fight anyway.
Hey, Doc, let me
Yo, Harold, you told him. Yo, Harold, you told him. You told him, gangsters don't dance, they boogie. He said, gangsters don't dance, they boogie. What?
I like that.
What went through your mind when you first signed the fight, Vito and the Firmo?
Oh, I knew I was going to beat Vito. I didn't even care what kind of money I was going to get with Vito. I mean, at the time, you got to understand, I was in the Army at the time. And at the same time, I had lost two fights in a row before I went to the military. So basically,
really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, two fights that were taken from me, but, you know, I knew I won them, but, you know, I just knew I had to get back on track. But the thing was is that I had to fight somebody. When I left there, Vito wasn't that known. But I was in the Army for about a year, I just said, I got to, you know, get back there, get my name back together. So I offered to fight Vito because he was undefeated at a 19 fight. He was like 19-0 or something like that.
You called him out, right, Harold? You called him out.
Yeah, I called him. I called my father up to make the fight. And Teddy Brennan and them, you know, had no problem making it. The fight was going to be made because they figured they were going to beat me. And that was the whole thing. Everybody thought I was going to lose.
And what weight did your fight?
You did a hell of a job, pal, because you
What weight did your fight?
Say that again?
What weight did your fight?
I don't know what weight they put it at. I know I came in at 150, something like that. I think the weight was at 152, 154, something like that. But Vito was big. Vito was big, so it was like... I came in for the fight 149. I know that. I came in 149 for the fight.
We're gonna close it up. I want well, Dusty will close it real quickly. Black History Month, Millrose Game, happy birthday, Bill Russell. When everybody say happy birthday to Bill Russell, everybody happy birthday, Mr. Russell. Please.
Happy birthday, Mr. Russell.
Happy birthday, Mr. Russell.
Happy birthday, Mr. Russell. 11 rings, 13 rings.
And another thing, everybody here at Sports and Death, Neil Blake, Lady D, or everybody else who make up this great station, send our sympathy out to Whitney Houston. And just say a quick thought, Lady A, your thoughts about Whitney Houston.
Oh, unbelievable singer. Extensive octave range. I think she had like a four octave range. It's crazy, unbelievable. Yeah. Good singer, amazing singer.
Your thoughts on Whitney Houston? Oops,
who's that now?
One of the greatest singers of all times. What a voice! She's been rarely missed. My mom's favorite singer too. My mom said nobody could touch Whitney. Nobody.
B-Wings, Whitney Houston.
I think she's a pioneer in pop. And people like Madonna and all these artists today have to tip their hats off to her for paving the way for them. I mean, she started at a young age, and she kind of paved the way for all these pop artists that were women, and God bless her soul and her family.
Dusty, your thoughts on Whitney Houston? Dusty?
He went to walk the mule. He said he'll be back.
Yeah, don't feed the mule.
It was him and his ass. Harold, your reflections and thoughts on your cousin Whitney Houston?
All I can say is, we knew she was going to be a superstar. And I love my family and everything. And all I can say, man, is that, God bless her. He put on this earth for us to see the greatness, to have a great woman. We're going to miss her, and that's all I can say.
Yeah.
Dusty, you still with us?
Hello?
Yeah, Dusty. Wow. Yeah, we. Okay, Dusty, your thoughts on Whitney Houston?
Well, you know, it was a hard. The Hardy Boy, when I saw the headline, okay, let me do this. When I saw the headlines today's paper, I was still reeling from the death of my buddy, and I'm saying, holy crap, it comes in threes. There's Etta James, Whitney, and then you got the fourth guy from Soul Train. I'm saying, oh my God, what is this? What's happening? But my passion or my feeling is that here at a young age, you know, it's unfortunate that she got derailed. You know, and maybe it's her poor health from what happened during the drug thing. You know, and it could have been she was recovering, and here she shortened her life, and I feel sorry for her daughter, Bobby Christine, who's now at the time when she needs her mother. You know, and it's gone. You know, and at 48, my God, you're in the prime of your life. You know, but then she was going to be honored last night at the pre-Grammy gala. She was the guest of honor.
Yep.
And for them to have to announce what happened, and then today, I think, I don't know, somebody correct me, she was going to either get an award or present it, or she was going to be a presenter or something.
She's going to present an award today. She's going to present,
you know, and that's sad and that's painful, you know, and I'm saying, Jesus. And brought back memories of other, you know, like Natalie Cole, who would have followed such a, you know, and they shortened their lives, you know, and but what can you say, you know, God bless her for all the pleasure she's given us, and maybe now she's at peace. I mean, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Somebody tell me that I'm wrong, but maybe the demons that took over are gone, and now she's out of peace, but. It's 48. Jesus Christ. I mean, just can't
Natalie
get over
Cole,
this.
Man. You know, you talk about Nat. I remember Nat passed away in February of 1965. A guy named Clay Cole used to do a show every day, and every now and then he would have these Muppets. And he would do the Muppet with Nat King Cole singing a Christmas song. And naturally, Christmas time came along. He would have it. Gang, time to go. Doc Stanley,
you didn't even ask Mel. You didn't even ask Mel Cosell what he thought.
Mel, go ahead, Mel Cosell. Your thoughts on
the lady. Well, I just want to say that, again, my condolences go out to Whitney and her family. A talent like hers comes along maybe once every 20 years. And at the top of her game, she had the ability to do what very few performers can, which is leave her audience sitting in stunned disbelief. We'll miss you.
No more need to be said. Our sympathy is out to the family of the great.
Doc, who's your favorite song of Whitney's?
I Will Always Love You, Boy. And Whitney, We Will Always Love You. May you rest in peace, and prayers to your family. And as the great saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest African sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, Larry Hardesty.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
I'm going to close this show this time myself. You know the three thoughts. Live your life today. If you stand before God tomorrow, life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Serves others is a room you pay for your space. Panel, I'm going to say this to you, and then we're going to go. I'm going to tell you something that one of the great songs I always heard. You people are so fond of me. I love you more today than yesterday, but gang, not as much as tomorrow. I got to go. Take care of yourself. Trust
Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. Buenas noches.